away, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like it to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So are all corks the same?
Oh, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, I haven't been... when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker. Yeah.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
Hey, we're back here at PFW in progress. Gary doesn't know what the heck he's doing. He's got everything all screwed up down here. I'm back. It's the original PFW in progress host, Tom Casale, with the others, Andy Hart and Paul Perillo joining me today. We going around the NFL later, Paul?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be going around the NFL.
It's just your show. We're living in it.
If you're the original, then I think you should know that we usually do that in the second half on Thursday.
We're waiting for Fred Kirsch to come down at some point, hopefully. So you guys were in the locker room today. What's going on?
Not a whole
Absolutely
hell of a lot.
Nothing.
One of the worst locker rooms in the history of this team. And that's saying a lot for this team. There was nothing in there. Absolutely nothing. There were a lot of guys. Oh, we do have a highlight of the day. Randy Moss walking by Oscar Lua and saying, "Hey, Oscar Lua." And we were just shocked that Randy Moss knows who Oscar Lua is.
Oscar Lua, what's up, dog?
Maybe they're friends.
It's another sign of Randy Moss just fitting in, taking the time to get to know every single Patriot on down the roster.
Maybe they got something in common.
What?
I don't know. You've seen that before, though, where like smaller guys that aren't as important are friends with stars, haven't you? That happens a lot.
Yeah, but coming into this, I would have never thought I would have heard the words. If you had told me last April that Randy Moss would say, "Hey, Oscar Lua," I just, any other player, maybe.
Did you know? Did you guys see on SportsCenter where they were talking about who was better, Moss or T.O., and then Damon Jones of the Cavs called in and said 100 times, "I'm T.O.'s best friend, I'm T.O.'s best friend," and he just had a terrible argument. Because you know me, I was arguing the point, right? And then what happened? T.O. got the opportunities and didn't make them. So he said that, well, T.O.'s not getting the same opportunities as Moss. If he did, he put up the same numbers. Well, I saw Moss catch a pass in the corner of the end zone for a touchdown.
Right.
I saw the exact same pass thrown to T.O., and he dropped it.
First of all,
terrible argument.
This isn't about numbers because they both put up
mind-boggling
statistics. They're both great receivers. You're trying to discuss whether or not you think one guy is better than the other. It has nothing to do with numbers here.
Right.
You know, Terrell Owens once caught, what's the record he had? 16 catches?
It was 20.
20, 20, yeah. 22. Oh, that's right. No, Troy Brown had 16.
It was 22, wasn't
22
it?
Catches in a game. I mean, we're talking about statistics that are on a plane well above the rest of the receivers in this league. Now, there are guys that may someday equal them, but right now, those guys over the long haul have been dominant. You're breaking down this, kind of the talent level or the skill levels that you're different, and Tom talks a lot about T.O.'s physicality and his size and strength and ability to go over the middle. Andy and I tend to focus on the hands that Randy Moss has. This,
which again, Tom admitted to in his trash talk segment when he goes, "Yeah, I made the hands. Those are kind of important with receivers."
And again, I align myself with Bill Belichick. I like my receivers to get open and catch the ball. That's why I took Randy Moss. But the numbers thing, I heard someone else say that too today, Tom, is, if T.O., was playing in Brady's offense, let's get one thing straight. T.O.'s playing in the second best offense right now with a quarterback who's playing out of his mind with the exception of one game. So that's not a very valid
argument. He's had plenty of opportunities. And, hey, if you drop a ball in the second quarter, I can live with it, you know. But when the game's on the line like that, you're the playmaker.
Right. Not only are you the playmaker, you're the guy who calls attention to yourself. So if you want to call attention all the time, then you certainly have to make the play when the game's on the line.
Yes, but he is the original 81, as he said. And
I'm guessing some others wore that number at some point, right?
not in his world. Did you see the thing they had mic'd up with him? Where he was mic'd up, and he's just in his own little world.
He's nuts.
I mean, yeah, he's just has no idea where he is. He's just off by himself.
Could be side effects.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Oh, before we get too deep into this, I have one more Moss thing to bring up. Remind me about it. But we should say thank you to Lucky, who sent us a nice spread today.
Thank
you,
Lucky.
Our subs, our wings. Lucky, you're the greatest, or should I say the U.S. government,
and
which likes to pay for this.
Lucky, I have always said that the U.S. government owes me, and thanks to you, they're starting to pay me back.
Lucky.
I appreciate it.
So keep it coming right up until the point you get court-martialed, because we're enjoying it. Good steak and cheese today.
And what was your thing about Moss?
Oh, Sal Palantonio has a new book out. It's the most overrated and underrated everything, I guess, in football history. And I've been going back and forth. Tippett's in it. Tippett's underrated. On one of the things, and apparently, I haven't seen it yet, but from what I understand, both Moss and Owens are included in Most Overrated.
Oh, really? And why is that?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I just think it's interesting because I think they're both pretty good receivers.
Yeah, but how could they be overrated? I mean, look what they've done.
I'm wondering if he's just taking into account, like, the hype kind of stuff.
But haven't they lived up to the hype?
Well, I don't know if you could ever live up to some of the hype. Well, certainly T.O., because it's self-created. It's nonstop hype. I don't know if you could ever – it's sort of like Chad Johnson living up to his own hype. Sooner or later, his little checklist goes to Asante Samuel and company or whatever. But I would take either of them on my team. And certainly if you could keep them happy, anybody who wouldn't want them on their team for like 10 years is an idiot and is not going to win a lot of football games. I think any quarterback in their right mind would take – physically, Terrell Owens and Randy Moss, anytime they could get their hands on them. I mean, we've seen that firsthand here with Brady. So we're going to have to get our hands on the book to see whatever the argument might be against them, but I think it's a bad argument. Sounds like the argument from football outsiders tell me Bo Jackson wasn't good.
See, I just...
Watch the games, guys. Watch the games.
I don't like the numbers stuff. No. You know, I just...
Any number you want.
Use your eyes. Numbers are like the Bible. You can use it to make any point that you want. I can always find numbers that will back up something.
It's one of the most profound things he's ever said. Numbers are like the Bible. Because I agree. You can find anything you want in the Bible. Because I've been in church and bored and start flipping through. And there's places in there where it talks about like beating your wife. And that's okay. And I'm like, I thought this Bible was about being good.
I just can't believe you were in church. But
you know, weddings, you get bored. You go to those Catholic weddings and you're sitting there forever.
They're too long. But I just say, look, use your eyes, you know, just use your eyes. Who do you think's better, blah, blah, blah. Enough with the numbers. And so you guys excited about the game? What's happening?
I'm excited.
I am very excited, and I now think the Patriots are going to blow them out of the frickin' water.
Well, yeah, you have weird theories on that.
I do
Fred Kirsch-like. Wade Phillips is predictable on defense.
I think Dallas is taking this game too seriously. I think they're putting too much into this game. And from that perspective, I tend to agree with Andy, but not for the same reasons. Andy, I think there have been plenty of times when that predictable team has come in and done well against the Patriots and plenty of times where it hasn't. So, I mean, I'm excited about the game because I think it's the first, you know, and I know we've said this a couple of times, but I think this is the first true test for them on the road.
And the hype. And
you know, with a 5-0 team playing well. We'll see what happens, but I think the Patriots are going to win the game. I just don't think it'll be very, you know, be an easy win.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this game a lot, obviously, and
no.
as we get closer, the less I like the Cowboys' chances. I think if, and as funny as this may sound, I think if they were 3-2, they'd have a better chance at home to upset the Patriots. But being 5-0, knowing the Patriots will be up for the seat, I think you got to catch the Patriots on not their best day. Because if they bring their best game, the only person that can stop that is Peyton Manning, in my opinion. And he'd have to play perfect like he did in the AFC Championship game. I just think if the Cowboys and Patriots both play their best game, the Patriots still win by 10. And the Patriots, you know, are going to use this as a measuring stick, a 5-0 team. And in those games, I just don't think the Patriots lose them.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you, Tom. And I think the way you put it, the closer the game comes, I would agree with that. And I think there's just too much balance with the Patriots, and there's too many things that Dallas is going to have to contend with on both sides of the ball, but especially on offense for the Patriots. I think they're not only balanced between running and passing the ball, but they're balanced in the way they can pass it. They can pass it deep. They can, you know, if you want to spread it out and, you know, go too deep and double cover the long ball and make sure you don't let the big play beat you, Tom Brady's just as content to dump it off and take the short stuff and move the chains that way and put together 10, 12, 15-play drives. They've done it so many times. So I think their balance overall on offense is what separates them.
Yeah, and one thing that the national media, I'm surprised, hasn't been talking about a lot that we've been kind of bringing up is they're not really talking about the loss of Anthony Henry, which to me in this game is huge. Maybe it's just because I know Jacques Reeves and I know that he can't play, but I was speaking with Albert Breer, the Dallas Morning News, and he said he thought the Cowboys' only chance was to play physical at the line with the receivers and send pressure. And while I agree with that, can they do it without Anthony Henry in the game? You got a guy who's basically a fourth corner. I wouldn't even count him as a third. He's not that good. And then you're going to have him up on Stallworth, you know, playing bump and run. It's a dangerous game. So I'm wondering, I know Phillips likes to play that way, but do we see one of those games where we're sitting there wondering, why aren't they bumping the receivers?
Yeah.
And maybe that's why.
And I would make an amendment a little bit to what Albert said and just say, I wouldn't necessarily think the way to go about it is to send pressure. Get pressure, yes, but I think if you're going to play physical with those receivers and you're not going to have any help there, you're asking for trouble whether you're getting pressure or not. And I think that if they have to send extra guys to get pressure on Brady, I don't like that for the Cowboys' chances.
I think he was talking like with Ware and those guys.
Yeah,
like,
and now if it's just a regular four-man rush and the guys get there, then yes, I think that can happen. But if they have to get, like I said, if they have to do extra stuff, send extra rushers to get in Brady's face, I don't think that's the way to go about it.
Andy?
I was just finishing up enjoying Lucky's nice spread that he sent us. I want to send another thanks out to Lucky.
Lucky.
And talking about DeMarcus Ware, Bill just said in the press conference, best player in that draft, which is kind of interesting whenever he puts a superlative on somebody that's pretty definitive.
But that is also a pretty good, that was a pretty top-heavy, pretty good draft. You know, there's some guys that have made relatively quick impacts in the league.
Sean Merriman.
Yep.
Was in that draft, you know, plays virtually the same exact position that Ware does.
But as I said in the locker room, Bill's been at those Patriots-Chargers games where I've been very much underwhelmed with Sean Merriman, haven't been very impressed, and maybe he's seen that up close, you know, what they've been able to do against him and says, you know what, this, you know, he knows how good Matt Light is and says, you know what, this guy's not all that good.
What I've seen Ware do a little bit more often, and Bill did compare them yesterday and said there were a lot of similarities in the way that they've played and the style and the way that Wade has used them. But what I've seen Ware make more plays, I'm not saying a ton, but more plays in the passing game than I've seen Sean Merriman.
He's not that bad in pass
coverage. And that's surprising.
It's very
because
long,
he's,
right?
Because
yeah.
he's the one
I feel
that
like
came.
He sticks out an arm and he just covers a lot of
well, that
room.
If you saw the interception, I'm sure Tom did because he probably has it as like wallpaper at home or something or on his computer. The play he made against Atlanta, where he picked off the pass, deflected it to himself, and then outran it. I mean, including Michael Vick, by the way. For a touchdown, just an unbelievable play.
I bet he's one of those NBA guys. The wingspan is bigger than the height of the body or whatever.
7'4" wingspan, yeah.
Despite only being 6'10".
And it's surprising to me that I would say that because he's the one that came from the smaller school.
Right.
That you wouldn't think that he would have the more well-rounded game, but I think he does have the more well-rounded game.
I think he's just a natural athlete.
Yeah, that's probably.
He's the better natural. Just
yeah, he was more raw coming out than Merriman
but
was.
But you said, wow, this guy's
like
an
upside.
Natural might be an emphasis there, too, with Merriman and Ware. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not going to make
any
assumptions with Ware.
I was going to say, I don't know anything about Ware, but we do know something about Merriman.
Certainly not making that assumption with Ken Hamill in the safety for the Cowboys.
No.
I saw him flexing after a play, and Jesus, Jiminy Joseph. Guy's got bulges where you shouldn't have bulges.
The one thing,
you shouldn't be watching the crotch.
No, it was not a Tom Casale-like
No, yeah, this is the guy who comes up to me when I come in this morning, and he goes, I got an idea for a feature story. Guys changing in the locker room.
What do you think about just asking
that's
about
a feature story?
And I just, like, I didn't know what, it was kind of like when you stump Bill, and he doesn't really know what to say, and I just looked up at him and said, what are you going to ask?
Ask him about the, is it uncomfortable? When did you ever get used to it? When was, like, do you remember the first time I was going to tell my Bledsoe story, that the first interview I ever did, on the second question, he dropped his drawers and I started fumbling and bumbling, and I was going to call it Not So Private Parts. Don't you think it would be a good quirky feature?
And go to Patriots.com to get a subscription to Patriots Football Weekly.
That's what
Have
Andy
you
does.
Ever read a story about that?
No.
It's always there.
No,
the media is uncomfortable. You know the players are uncomfortable. Guys are naked and just screw you.
Just one
more. Do you ever notice Andy comes up with the names of his features before he comes up with the idea? Oh, I know what we could do. Not So Private Parts. This is what we could do.
We don't have anything for it, but if we get something, that title is going to kill.
Right. It's going to kill on the internet in the meantime.
One other thing I was noticing with Ware that I wonder if it'll be, I was going to ask Bill this, maybe I'll do it tomorrow.
But you couldn't squeeze it in with the 15 other questions you
asked
in the press conference.
I asked a couple of questions. What's
Holy Moses, you never shut up.
You asked three today.
You and Bert Breer.
Without question, that's a record for Tom Casale.
I just had a couple of things I wanted to ask him. I wasn't here yesterday. I'm trying to fit it all in.
Yeah, you've been thinking about those couple of things for 8 months.
Just so you know, if you were here yesterday, you would have asked 6 questions so far this week.
Why? Because there wasn't anyone?
No,
you would have
asked three yesterday, too.
Oh, no, it would have been too many people here.
Three more tomorrow.
No, one other thing I wanted to ask was, it seems like they're moving Ware right before the snap to the other side. Is that how tough is that to double team them when they do that? You know what I mean? Because
they swap them or they just move.
They
them?
Swap them. That's what they were doing against Buffalo. They were swapping the. So Andy, does that make it a lot harder to double team someone when they're doing that?
Yeah, because you got to change your whole protection sliding one way or the other. And I think depending on how close to the snap it is and where your play clock is and the timing of it. I mean, if they have time, then that's when you see Brady just reset, the mic, and they just change their calls. The other aspect of that I'd say might be an issue is if Dan Copen can't play. Because I know Russ Hochstein's done a great job, and I wrote a Pulse story, but he's still not your every-game center with the comfort level between the quarterback and all the other linemen making those types of calls and those types of adjustments that might have to come in a 4 or 5 second span coming down to the play clock. So, yeah, that'd be something to definitely keep an eye on.
I was thinking, I think they'll be okay on that side with Brady and Light blocking Ware.
Well, that's the other issue. Where's Brady? If Brady is on a side, now you're really adjusting trying to get Kyle Brady to a different side to help out a Kasher or a Light.
But that's what they did in Miami, didn't they? They kind of brought Taylor onto the other side to play against Kasher a little bit.
They moved him around a bunch,
And they had
both outsides, a little bit down inside.
He had success everywhere in
that game.
Right. He's a
pretty good player, Paul.
He even came up the middle.
But I'm just wondering, remember how we've been kind of saying, I wonder why no one else is looking at that Miami game plan.
Right.
And I'm wondering when someone is going to, and I know that the Cowboys have a player similar to Taylor in Ware if they're going to do something like
that. Well, that's because Miami had the signals and they knew what to do, and not everybody else has it.
I'm guessing Wade Phillips doesn't have the signals.
I'm guessing Wade doesn't know where he is.
Hey, we should probably mention the injury report came out yesterday after our show, and there were a couple of additions. Asante Samuel and Adalys Thomas both listed. Mm-hmm. Strange to see Asante Samuel listed with a foot. Anybody find that odd?
I didn't know he was on there, Paul.
Yeah,
the first time hearing that was.
Is that why I'm getting that blank stare?
That was the biggest surprise to me.
So, in other words, when you print out that injury list, you don't actually look at it.
No, I bitch that it's covered by a big black box or something because the way they do it in Adobe.
Yeah, I complain about it, but that was a surprise. And we'll touch on that in a minute. But first, we got Lucky on the horn.
Lucky,
the guy who bought us lunch today
via the U.S. government.
Tell the U.S. government we said thanks.
There's no problem. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Tom, how was that sandwich?
Oh, it was great. Phenomenal. Okay. Phenomenal sandwich. But
did
they won't cut it.
They
don't cut it for some reason. They don't cut the sandwich.
I know. That was a special request this time. I didn't see a reaction.
Oh, that's right.
I was swearing up a storm here. I said, my God, they cut every sub except for mine. Good work, Lucky.
Don't hold off on the turkey sub. Don't cut it. So.
Good work.
I know.
That's great.
That's good stuff.
So how are things going? What y'all talking about? I'm at work, so I can't really listen to the radio show right now.
Sucks. We're talking about the game.
DeMarcus Ware, if he can be a disruption, if they move him around, if he could be the headache in Tom Brady's backside and what he could do to hurt this offense.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to maintain him. I think the line might rise to the challenge. I'm hoping they will.
Well, the line's played so well. Yeah, I mean, the line has played so well so far that you wouldn't expect a bottom out like that, like we had in Miami last year, for example, the way they're playing right now. But I do think that's a big, big key to the game is if Ware and maybe to a lesser extent Anthony Spencer can get pressure without the Cowboys having to do anything special, to get in Brady's face, they have a shot. If not, I think that Brady just picks them apart.
I thought Spencer was projected not to play this game. Isn't he hurt?
Is that true, Tom?
No, Spencer's okay. You're thinking of Anthony Henry?
No. I thought it was Anthony. Okay, maybe I thought it was Spencer is what they said. I didn't think it's they said Henry. No, I know Henry was already hurt, but I thought it was.
Not that I know of. He was in there late against Buffalo, and I didn't really see any names on the Cowboys injury report that made me scratch my head yesterday.
We'll check on that just to make sure, because I remember a couple of weeks ago we had one of our listeners was talking about Terrence McGee being injured. None of us knew anything about it. All of a sudden, the next day, on the Thursday, Terrence McGee was listed as being questionable, and then he didn't play ultimately in that game. So sometimes you guys are a step ahead of us, but I don't remember seeing Anthony Spencer on the injury list. But
I don't know. I might have got it confused. I might be wrong. I don't know. I thought it said Spencer, but I think it's Clayton, that the little alien-looking dude. On the
yeah, he's probably yeah. wrong.
You know what? I saw that, and I think you're right. I think he might have said Anthony Spencer on accident.
Screwed but up.
The screen said Anthony Henry.
Idiot.
Oh, okay.
That might be it, but I think you're right. He did
all right,
say
Gary
that.
Just printed it out for us. Yeah, Anthony Spencer is not listed on the injury report.
Yeah, you're right. Oh. It was Clayton who he said it wrong.
Okay.
Anthony Henry did not participate in practice. We knew that. Right. And then full participation in practice, Courtney Brown, Kevin Burnett, Keith Davis, and the infamous Oliver Hoyt.
He'll be okay.
All listed.
So who's going to rise to the challenge this game? Who's your pick?
Dante
Stallworth. I know Tom is going to be good. You can't pick Tom. You've got to be somebody else.
Dante Stallworth. Big game
Dante
for Dante.
Stallworth.
Yeah, working against Jack Reeves, the replacement for Anthony Henry. I think Stallworth has a nice game.
Ben Watson. I'm going to use Tom's theory that Roy Williams can't run with big athletic tight ends.
I'm going to go with Asante.
Yo, Tom, I have to agree with you. Roy Williams does suck.
I'm going to go with Asante Samuel. That's my pick.
Who was it?
Asante Samuel's my pick.
Two picks?
Asante Samuel, two picks?
I think he causes problems for a guy like Tony Romo, who is occasionally careless with the football.
And
that's his kind of cornerback.
Watch out for Jarvis Green sneaking around the chicken coop.
Yeah, hopefully we can get some sacks, but I hope we don't flush them out. It seems like Romo is good when he gets out of the pocket. He makes some plays running.
Yep.
But if he goes out the pocket, all they got to do is look for T.O. because that's usually who he's going to.
Yeah, that's true. And T.O. catches it half the time.
It'd be the T.O. or Witten, I would say, when he's flushed. But
yeah, early in the game last week, he was going for Witten in the first
Witten's
couple picks.
Witten's his man. That's the guy he looks for first.
So. All right, Lucky. Well, thanks
again,
for
Lucky.
Lunch. Thanks for calling.
No problem. I got to get back to work anyway. I know they're looking for me.
Yeah, go shoot something.
You're the man.
Don't worry about it.
It's just the government.
Yeah.
John Schuerholz is quitting from the Braves.
Well, did it just get 20 degrees below zero in here?
I have long sleeves on today, so I don't know.
Yeah, so do freaking I for
freezing.
Some reason.
No, you're right. You should have them on because cold as crap in here.
Cold as crap.
All right. Well, Jimmy in Orlando, he says, afternoon, bitches. one word, defense. Giants put up 35 points on Dallas. Buffalo, one play from winning the game. The rest of Dallas's wins were against 0-5 teams. Quickly, all right, the teams the Cowboys played have won 6 games. The teams the Patriots played have won 7 games.
Right.
Hey, if you think the Patriots are going to win by 50, that's fine. But don't use that they haven't played anybody theory.
And I will also say that they played a common opponent in Buffalo. Buffalo scored 7 against the Patriots, 3 against Dallas.
And to be fair,
the other 3 touchdowns were on returns.
It's not just our listeners. I looked at the power rankings on ESPN. They have the Patriots 1, and it says, like, rolling along. And then wherever the Cowboys are, it says, like, not to rain on the parade, but they haven't beaten anybody.
Well, you know
like,
why, though?
Well, how is the number 1 team rolling along, and the number 3 team is...
Because the number 1 team has been there before and done that before.
Yeah,
and that's why.
And Dallas struggled against
Buffalo. Use a different argument.
But
you only have to spill Phil's 3 lines there. You don't need to.
Now, you know what? I understand.
I don't like
I understand what you're saying. First of all, you know how we both agree on this, Andy. We both don't like those power rankings all that much. We don't think they're really done properly. But in my opinion, the Patriots have proven over time that it doesn't really matter what the opponent is. They're generally going to have a level of success. This is the first time Dallas has played at this level,
right?
And they haven't beaten anybody,
right?
So they're still untested. To me, the Patriots
right.
have
they
passed.
They have to go in.
But
and
you're looking, if you're looking at
I know
it
every
as
year
a power
is
ranking,
individual, I know that.
How do you think they? I just think there's not that many good teams.
No, I agree.
So I don't expect any teams to come along and really.
I would
knock
just
them
if
off.
I was doing, I would just
San
say
Diego,
I think Dallas is overrated, not that they haven't beaten anybody.
Just for an example, I think San Diego is a much more impressive victory than anything Dallas has done, despite the fact that San Diego is 2-3.
Right.
Okay, I think that that's a pretty talented team
right.
that struggled at the beginning of the year. I think at the end of the year,
I would
you're going to find them about 11-5.
But I'd
AFC
rather they
West
just say the Cowboys might be a little overrated at this point, but
yeah,
they're winning and so. They have you know playmakers on both sides of the ball.
Oh, I, and I agree. And
don't
you
list.
Be,
they have six, they have only beaten teams with six wins.
Well, who are they behind that they should be ahead of? Like, I don't know what the rankings are.
No, they shouldn't be ahead of anybody. I'm pretty sure they're three.
He's just saying what they said.
Yeah.
I just don't like the fact that that's what you write about them.
See, it would bother me if they were like seventh. Well, they haven't beaten anybody yet. We're going to put, you know, Jacksonville ahead of them.
No,
they're
third, I believe.
Now, as long as that, you know, even if they were four, I could understand that argument to an extent behind Pittsburgh. I could maybe take that, obviously, the Colts being two. But, you know, if they're ranked up there, then I can live with that criticism because I think largely it's true. They're unproven.
Well, Emmett Smith says, what did he say? They follow closely, but they're – how did he phrase it when he said they're a close third, but
they're
far
distant,
behind
yeah.
– distant
just,
close
just,
third?
Let's not talk about Emmett. I got too much on my plate this week.
The man can't – did you hear Schefter this morning?
Oh, that was
they
hilarious.
They asked him
that
about
was hilarious.
Him because he used to work at the NFL Network.
You
and
know
he
what?
Was like, I love Emmett, and I don't want to go there.
Everyone's got the same opinion.
But then he had one. But
right.
You know what? We should mention that, the Schefter thing, because we got to give something that you and I have disagreed on, and I'll give you props on. He said the hottest coaching commodity this upcoming offseason will be. You didn't hear him?
Hey, wasn't that me who said
Josh
that?
McDaniels.
Josh
but
McDaniels.
What about Bill Cowher?
He says Bill Cowher will be a bigger name. This guy will be more coveted, is what he said.
That's what I said, and you said it would be because of the offense.
Yeah, and that's why it will be.
No, but you said that people will say it was because of all
No, that's what I say.
Yeah, that's what he said. I said he needs to get the same credit Tom Brady does. He was good when he had no talent, and he's good when he has talent.
I'll get the tape from Felger. You're stealing my material.
That's
There's
my
no
argument.
Doubt in my mind that's been my argument. I think he was underrated grossly last year for the same reason Brady.
Oh, I thought
I think
did.
The coordinator and the quarterback go hand
you,
in hand.
I said, don't you think he'll be one of the hottest coaching commodities?
And I said, yes. I said, I don't think he'll get a job this year. I think Schefter's wrong in that. I think it's 1 year away.
Yeah, that's
but
what
I think
you said.
Everything else, if you say Tom Brady was good last year and great this year, then you have to say Josh McDaniels was good last year and great. It's the same argument.
But I don't
exact
think
same
teams
argument.
Will wait a year. I just think, I mean,
well, that
look,
I don't know.
Look at all the bad coaches that are out there now. You got to figure out what the heck.
I also haven't looked. I mean, who's going to be, like, what are the
Carolina,
jobs
Carolina, that'll probably be Cowher. If he goes,
oh yeah, because he didn't he build a
but
house
that
mean, right near
that
there.
Mean, but that means Fox will be available,
right?
So
that's
he goes
the game.
Somewhere else.
I think rather than just throwing it out there, you actually have to say, well, these five jobs might be open.
The Jets
guy, you know, but I don't think they'd go down that road if they happened to.
That'd be funny though.
I think that
so
would be.
You need
very
to look
funny.
At the specifics a little bit.
I don't think it's going to happen either, but I think that would be very funny if all of a sudden he went from man genius to out of work.
The Rams, maybe. I'm just trying.
I think Linehan could be in trouble.
Some of these teams, though, whew. Now you're just changing on the fly left and right.
That's the problem. You have to put something in place and try to.
And you know what? I'm rooting for the guys like Linehan, like Cam Cameron, like you know Sean Payton. I don't Wisenhunt in Arizona. I like the fact that some of these teams took chances and went
right.
out and hired guys that were the bright, you know, the Josh McDaniels, Eric Mangini, whoever. I don't like when this is Wade Phillips' third. Regular head coaching job, and I didn't even realize this until Bill talked about it today. He was an interim coach twice.
That was one of those where
Denver
I was glad I didn't
Atlanta,
ask the
right?
question. I don't like it when Bill turns questions five times, right?
And I'm like, Denver and Atlanta, he was interim coach for.
Well, he was a regular coach in Denver.
Right, but didn't he take over as the interim coach?
Oh, so it's really only his fourth then?
I thought that's how it happened.
Well,
if it isn't, I don't know what other team he coached.
Whatever way it's come about. I mean, I've seen what I need to see from Pete Carroll. I've seen what I need to see from Norv Turner and Wade Phillips and all these other guys that they just continue to give another job to. Now, I'm not
it's
saying
what Bill said. While praising him, he also kind of took a shot at him, I felt like.
I'm not saying that that you can't hire a guy. Look, there's plenty of guys that have done it on the second chance and none bigger than the one we have right here with Bill Belichick. You know, John Fox, in my opinion, has done enough in Carolina to warrant a second chance somewhere
right.
else if he in fact, is done after this year with the Panthers. But I don't think every guy just automatically warrants a second chance. You know, some guys are so bad that they don't, you know, should Dave Campo be given a second shot, Tom? What do you think?
No.
You know what I mean? I like the fact, you know, Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, and I give Pittsburgh a lot of credit because all of those other teams that used an unproven guy kind of had to. You know, they were, you know, maybe I'll give the Jets credit too with Mangini because, you know, they're a big, you know, big time franchise too. But, you know, a lot of the other teams like Arizona and St. Louis, they could afford to do it. Pittsburgh was a pretty good team that 2 years removed from the Super Bowl, went 8-8 last year.
But they had to hire a black coach.
Well, I know why they did it, but they didn't have to hire an unproven one.
Who are they going to hire? Denny Green?
Could have hired anybody. That would have been a retread.
I wouldn't have wanted him.
But that's why I think Pittsburgh did it right. They weren't interested in a retread.
But you know what the
issue is? They were going to hire a new guy regardless. It was either going to be him or Wisenhunt, right?
The issue with McDaniels.
Or Russ Grimm, rather.
The issue with McDaniels is I think Mangini found a good situation in New York because of Tannenbaum. Because they had a relationship, and you put together two guys who are on the same page. McDaniels, if he gets hired in St. Louis, I don't know who the St. Louis GM is.
Right, but the argument is he going to be a hot coaching commodity? Which the answer is going to be yes.
Yeah.
Because this team's going to go 14-2.
I don't think he'll get a job. I think he's 1 year removed.
I'm the only one that didn't think that, not Andy, because I actually argued about it with Andy.
I think he gets it in 2009.
On the show.
And then he's going to be smart and find the right
one. I didn't think he would even be on the radar this offseason for a head coaching
job. Yes, and
evidently I'm wrong.
That's the discussion. It's not whether or not he would make a good coach.
And I actually think he would is the guy that might turn a couple down. Before he sees a fit.
I don't think he's ready.
Oh, I don't even know about that. I just think he has enough confidence in himself to say, no, I'm not ready, or that's not a good fit, or I don't want to work for that owner, and he'll wait for the third one, the good one.
Yeah, and I also said the same thing about Mangini. I didn't think he was ready. I was wrong.
Maybe he's not.
Whatever happens now, he was ready. He proved that he could handle running a ship. Now, whether or not he gets the right players to do it, and remains to be seen.
The guy driving the Titanic thought he could handle a ship for the first half of the
voyage.
Right
before we get to the phones again, Cincinnati, another place to watch out for a coaching change. Anthony,
Josh, turn that one down.
Well, see, I don't know.
Oh.
If you could get some assurances.
So Mike Brown sells the team.
If you could get some assurances to spend some money in scouting, they have some talent.
But who's their GM? Who makes decisions there?
I don't know who makes They got one of those weird situations.
That's the issue. Now, on paper, it looks great because you give an offensive coordinator, Carson Palmer, Chad Johnson, TJ Hushmanzada, you know, all these guys. That looks good, but behind the scenes, I don't know if I'm...
The artist formerly known as Rudy Johnson?
Well, let's get to Anthony in Naples. Hey, Anthony, what's going on? Thanks for holding.
Hey, no problem. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Anthony, we got a bottle of Pepsi here. You know what we could use for it? Some rum.
Rum? I wanted to make sure that Tom got the jack, because that was for him.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Just making sure. Hey, but, you know, I was actually listening to the podcast. I have 2 points. The one thing is, you know that guy Dave from the Philippines?
Yeah.
You guys were talking about having him, watching the Patriots. A good little way to kind of cheat around the system is that if he knows anybody with the NFL ticket, you know, the Sunday ticket, I do, I actually, I upgraded and I got the Supercast, the Superfan, and it allows you to log on to DirecTV's website and actually watch the Supercast, and it's only an extra $100 for that. So if he knows anybody with that, that's a nice little way to get around it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. I have my little brothers over on the East Coast there in Melbourne. And I let him watch it through the Supercast that way.
This is probably not something we should be discussing on Patriots.com, but I'm sure many fans out there appreciate this little heads up, this little tip.
Well, you know, I would love it someday, actually, in the future, if the Patriots, you know, just, you know, offered some way to watch, you know, you pay a monthly fee and just watch their games. But then, you know, probably too many teams individually.
Don't worry. If Fred can find a way, it'll happen.
Right. But yeah. I think, they're still tied into the league and the DirecTV you're talking about. But that is a good little tip for fans that can't quite get their
games.
Let
me put it this way, Anthony. If you ever hear Fred on here starting to say, you know, I don't think we should be sharing all this, you know it's on its way.
It's on its way.
Do you know what Skype is?
You know, you guys were just talking about him. I was hearing while I was on hold, you guys were talking about coaches again. I remember you guys making the point of, like, you know, who could we have replace, like, Belichick in New England if it ever can be. And, you know, what I find shocking is that Dick LeBeau, you never hear his name mentioned. Why is that?
Well, he had a chance in Cincy, and it didn't work out. I don't know too much about him as a head coach, if he's the type of guy that would get another chance. I know he's a great defensive coordinator. It seems to me from just the stuff that I kind of read is that he's happy, again, being a defensive coordinator.
That's the vibe I've gotten from him, is he didn't like the taste of the head coaching, and he's happy just dealing with his defense and enjoying that side of the ball and being the number two man.
And another one I have is Jimmy Johnson in Philadelphia. You know, another great defensive mind, I think.
He's somebody who doesn't want to coach.
Right. He's the Monty Kiffin.
Yeah.
They pay him very well, a couple million bucks a year to coordinate. and he's not. I don't think he's interested.
All right, guys, have a good one. And just to let you know, definitely Carrie Underwood
over Giselle.
Absolutely.
Oh, me too.
Come on.
Way to go, baby.
Listen, listen. I know one thing. I've had a Brazilian girlfriend, and that Brazilian accent drives you nuts.
Okay? I'm with you.
You know, it just drives you crazy. Carrie Underwood can sing you to sleep, and she's hot just all around. She's got that look that you can bring home to mom.
Do all Brazilian girlfriends get Brazilian you-know-whats?
She's hot, too.
I'll be honest with you. It didn't matter if they're Brazilian or not. I just was fortunate to get them that way.
All right. see you later, Anthony.
See you,
Thanks
Anthony.
For the call.
Wow.
You got anything, Paul?
Yeah, Dick LeBeau, by the way, 12-33 as a head coach with Cincinnati. So it didn't only not go well, it went
pretty badly. Just because they lost, I mean, how else did it play out? Do you remember any of that?
Well, I'll say this. They went 2-14 in 2002, his final year. Marvin Lewis came in and went 8-8. So, I mean, I don't know how many additions there were, but that's a pretty striking contrast.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say, this says it all about why Andy and I initially thought that it wouldn't be a good place.
Mike Brown.
Mike Brown is basically, you know, the god. They have listed, this is their player personnel department, okay? I'm going to read it in its entirety. It won't take very long. Senior Vice President Player Personnel, Pete Brown, okay?
Vice Mike's brother.
Vice President Player Personnel, Paul Brown.
Isn't he dead?
Not him.
Oh.
Son. Director of Football Operations, obviously that's just a clerical position, more or less. Director of Player Personnel, Duke Tobin. Scout. No, that's not, I did not misspeak. Scout, as in singular, not plural. Greg Seaman. Scouting consultants, they have two of those. Bill Tobin and John Cooper, and a personnel assistant, which is just a glorified secretary.
So basically they're the Cowboys of the Midwest.
That's
I guarantee the Cowboys have more
department.
Scouts. Jerry Jones makes all the decisions.
Their personnel thing's kind of like that. Steven Jones.
Right.
Jerry.
No, but I'm talking about
they don't even have people scouting.
They don't have They have one scout.
I thought they fixed that.
Evidently not.
That's a joke.
They have one scout and two scouting
consultants. That city should kick them out of that stadium and sue them. They're not even trying to win.
So it might not be a great place for Josh McDaniels.
Certainly. I'd say no when they called for the interview.
All right.
Why is Gary continue to point at the calendar in there? What is going on behind the scenes? Can't hear you. You don't know how to use the buttons either.
Mark from a C. Mark with a C from New Hampshire.
Why would you bring that up on the air?
He says, who has a bigger game, Moss or Owens?
Moss.
Also, I think they're both going to have pretty good games, but I'll go with Moss because
Terrence Newman sounded like he was barely able to walk when we heard him on Sirius Radio.
Yeah, according to Terrence Newman, he's 2 days away from retirement.
Holy Moses.
So.
Just take him out back and shoot him.
Also, has Fred lost his mind?
Yes.
Positive spin thing. Now he picks the Cowboys to win. I thought redesigning the website was bad enough. Also, that Steve with a V has to get a new call name.
Why?
Steve.
Because this guy's Mark with a C?
Yes.
I still don't get the Steve with a V thing.
This is Shannon, one of our favorite emailers. He says, hello, Peckerwoods. Oops, sorry, Frank. I meant to say hello, bitches. Why hasn't Asante Samuel been signed to a contract extension? Obviously, last year's 10 picks weren't a fluke. He already has 3 this year, and obviously it makes the defense better. You think the 49ers would gladly exchange Nate Bubba Gump Clements straight up for Asante? I surely think yes. What do you think the Pats will do with him next year? Let him go, franchise him again, or replace him with a free agent? If so, who will it be?
Well, they can't franchise him I've never actually seen the piece of paper, but by all reports, they agreed to 60% of the snaps or 12 wins. He's going to pass both of those in all likelihood, or certainly the 12 wins look like a lock for this team. So he's not going to be franchised. So my guess is, my hunch is, he's already an expatriate, just hasn't become finalized yet.
All right.
Because I certainly don't see him handing him $25 million like some other team will.
Well, why not?
I just don't think they will.
And what if they, you know, what if they...
I don't think they feel comfortable with him.
But even now?
Yeah.
Even after he's doing it
on
again?
On the field, I still think they have doubts. And I think if you have any doubts, it's in your best business interest, even if he's good, to walk away, because you don't want to regret that and say, I knew I shouldn't have given it to him.
I'm not sure. See, now, if he gets to free agency, then I think, you know, kiss him goodbye. But I think if they can get to him in November or December, like reportedly they were trying to do late last year,
mm-hmm.
and let's say, you know, you mentioned $25 million. maybe they can do that, and he takes it because he likes it here, and he knows he can succeed here. He knows
if they write him a check for $25 million, I think he'll stay.
But, you know, maybe he could get $35 or $40 million if he went. Maybe he'd stay.
I don't
maybe.
Think he'll get that ridiculous. But I think if they came with an offer...
You're talking about guaranteed money, yeah. Like in the first year, or like guaranteed
well,
total?
Well, first, like 2 years. Like virtually, you know, guaranteed money that comes very quickly. I think if they came to him with something up in that $25 million with a big... I think he'd take it.
I don't see why they wouldn't be willing to do that. I could understand it totally last year because they had in the back of their minds this thought that a lot of our fans had, that, you know, he's been in our system and he's made to look a little bit statistically maybe better than he is. And he had, in his defense, to his credit, a tremendous year. But maybe they didn't know if he could duplicate that. Well, I think he's showing that he can duplicate it. I don't care if
but
he doesn't end up with
10 picks. But that doesn't necessarily mean... You think his I want to be careful here. I don't want to take any shots at him. No, not value. I don't think that means you are insured that his mentality, approach, nature, that you're going to get the exact same guy you've gotten.
But that's true with anybody, isn't it?
Well,
right, but I'm saying if you have any doubts, I think it's in your best business interest to take a chance and go the other way.
So you think, in other words...
Rather than pay a check for the next 10 years when you said, you know what, my gut told me I shouldn't have re-signed him, but I did.
So you think the bigger reason that they were reluctant to sign him last year was because they weren't sure that they were getting the most focused Asante Samuel they could get with him being hungry?
Yeah. I think they have some trepidation there.
I think, you might be right, and neither one of us is right on this because Bill's
right.
not telling us
right.
what the reason is.
But I think if you feel that way, it's hard, even if he's got more picks.
I would agree with you.
Because you're locking yourself to him for 8 years and...
We're sort of coming at it from different angles. I agree with you. If you
performance-wise, I think they would do it.
If
but
they
I
feel,
think they have
yeah,
more
if,
beyond performance.
If they feel like that, they're worried about what happens to him if he gets that money in his
Isn't
pocket.
Isn't that what happened with Ty the first time he got the big deal? Didn't he get fat and his production went down?
I think that's
great?
What people said. I think that he played a very high level for the bulk of that contract. I think he had a subpar 1999 season. That's about it. And that was the first year of the thing. I don't think he played, to his level. Now, you put him on this team, 1999 version is the best cornerback on the team.
Right.
But I think that for his level, I think he played so well in 98. That was the year he had all the picks and went to the Pro Bowl and all that stuff that earned him that contract. There was the inevitable drop-off. And I think every time, and at that point in his career, believe it or not, he came into the league in 95, Tom. He went 3 years, 95, 96, 97, no, 4 years, 98, without ever having allowed a touchdown in coverage.
Really?
He didn't allow his first touchdown until 99.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best corners I've ever seen.
Pretty good player now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's phenomenal.
Tell the truth. How much of this game did you watch last night, Navy and Pitt?
Oh, I watched a lot of the...
Gary watched.
I watched a lot of the... I mean, I was flipping back and forth, but I watched, like, the fourth quarter and the overtime. I was telling Andy, did you see the end of it? They have have McCoy, a running back Pitt, who's like the new Tony Dorsett. He's phenomenal. He had like 250 on the ground. They couldn't stop him. So they're down by three in overtime. They have third and goal from the two. They throw it. Then they have fourth and goal from the two. You know what they do? Fade.
I love fades.
And it was such bad play calling, even Lou Holtz committed to saying so. He said, you know, if you're going to go for it on fourth down, why not run the ball on third with the guy they can't stop? That wants that. But listen, I have no idea what you guys were doing yesterday other than prank calling a guy on life support and discussing. he said, yesterday I was leaning towards Carrie simply because she hasn't been violated by Leonardo DiCaprio. But screw that. Giselle is way hotter.
Yes, I agree.
Who was picking Carrie Underwood? Fred?
Somebody. I don't know if anybody.
Wait, who are you picking?
Giselle.
Didn't you just agree with
the
guy?
I'm just joking because...
Because that's his boy's girl.
No, I mean, if you were being serious, Giselle.
Yeah, I don't even think there's a competition.
I think between those two, I think Giselle is hotter. I just don't think Giselle is...
No, she wouldn't be in my top 10 or 20 if I had to make a list of hottest babes.
And I know that sounds completely
stupid.
You
got 20 hotter babes?
I think I could come
up with it. I'd like you to make a list of 20 hotter girls than Giselle because I just want to look at them.
Gary, can you effort that for me?
Actually, just have the emailers do it. Somebody put together a list of 10 women hotter than Giselle and email it in to Tom with potential links to any photos that are available on the internet.
One more, and then we'll take a
break.
Sure,
strippers could hook us up. Heck, half the people strippers works with
No, I don't want. I want famous people classy? Everybody knows. Yeah, I want famous people. I didn't say it had to be classy.
Oh, okay. Jaquai,
you know,
I believe
Pamela Anderson would qualify. Do you think she's hotter?
Yeah.
I wouldn't call her classy by any stretch.
Pretty sure no one would.
Jaquai,
not even her mom.
From Dallas. Jaquai says, former Cowboy Nate Newton on a local radio show in Dallas says that if the Pats and both play well, the Pats will win because they are overall the better team. He added that the game was more important to the Cowboys since it is a measure of how good they really are and if they get a chance to meet the Pats again in the Super Bowl. I guess Nate pretty much feels the Cowboys need the Pats to make mistakes if they, the Cowboys, are going to win. At the same time, the Cowboys will have to play a perfect game. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, that's...
Sounds like for a druggie, Nate Newton was making some pretty good sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that, you know, that entire analysis.
All right.
Mike Pereira on NFL Network right now. I wonder what they're talking about.
I'm sure he's saying some call was right.
Was correct.
All right, Gary, let's take a break.
BFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio. Your New England Revolution have been one of the hottest teams in Major League Soccer all season long. Summer may have turned to fall, but the soccer action is still hot at Gillette Stadium. Taylor Twellman.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pat Newman.
Shot and it's in! Patrick Newman!
And the rest of the Revs are looking to finish 0-7 strong and get revved up for the playoffs. Get to Gillette Stadium as the Revs make their push for the playoffs in a third straight trip to MLS Cup. With a few pivotal regular season home games left, it's not too late for you to be a part of the action. Tickets for the rest of the season are on sale now and start at just $18, making Revolution Soccer a fun and affordable day for the whole family. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Get your kicks, the New England Revolution.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme Omelette Egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle, because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. For a chance to win big, visit DunkinDonuts.com today to win great football prizes. Prizes include 42-inch plasma TVs, signed official game balls and JetBlue flights. And don't forget to try a Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Price and participation may vary. No purchase necessary to enter to win. Offer valid 8/20 to 9/30. Must be 18 years or older to participate. Must be a U.S. citizen. Limited time offer. Visit DunkinDonuts.com for official rules and a chance to win.
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot specialty license plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
When you've got a lineman size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the game with the greats. Where will you be?
All right, we're back. PFW in progress. Tom Casale, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo.
Okay.
The web address is webradio at patriots.com.
The web address.
Whatever. Who cares? Webradio at patriots.com if you want to write
You don't know by now. the original over there.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Clint comes in for what we were talking about before. Not saying Dick LeBeau would make a great coach, but I believe most of Marvin Lewis's success is based on the players in his system. Carson Palmer was drafted by Lewis, and Chad Johnson was drafted the year before, I believe. Players make the coaches for the most part. Well, Clint, I can give you many, many examples of that not being true.
I can give you three Super Bowl champions worth.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the 2001 Patriots weren't the most talented. I mean, we will all say the Rams were more talented than the Patriots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fred's not here, so we can say that.
Well, Fred would have some kind of semantic
argument.
Who knows?
Yes. Fred would say, more talented?
What do you mean by talent?
Or better team.
Then I would you know, blank out like I do in Belichick press conferences, like on that last question today.
About practicing indoors?
No, the one that Steve Burton asked about.
What are you guys, asleep up there?
Plays that the defense goes into something the last minute or so. I didn't even understand the question, so therefore the answer was totally lie.
A lot of coaches would like to have that record. Find that funny, Steve?
I felt like Billy Madison when I was listening to that one. And no point during that incoherent babble was there anything even resembling a point.
Oh, my God, I am the winner.
Jimmy from Orlando is back. He was the one that talked about the schedules. He said, Cleveland is a good, tough team. Who would you pick, the Rams or Cleveland? San Diego, talented. Bills were on us until the third quarter. Cincinnati, a lot of weapons to shut down. I was looking more at the strength of schedule, not so much the records. Look at those 0-5 teams, who those 0-5 teams have lost to. Listen, the Patriots are a better football team than the Cowboys.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt.
No one's doubt. I'm just saying.
But I think their schedules have been comparable.
Just say they're better, they're more physical up front. That's a bad argument, I'm saying. If you're arguing with a Cowboys fan at work, using that argument is bad. Find another argument because you have so many to pick from.
You do have an endless supply.
Yeah, you really do. And it starts and ends with the personnel and the coaching.
The coaching.
Right. You know,
stick to the coaching.
Stick to that, and you have an enormous edge. I just think that the schedule, the Patriots have played a tougher schedule, but it's marginal. It's very, very small.
And the one quick story on the coaching. You know, my mother, she's not a football connoisseur, but she's been around the bend with me and my father. She follows.
Sure, she's been around the bend with your father. That's how we ended up with you.
She follows the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Patriots now. And they were watching the Cowboys game the other night, flipping back from the Yankees, and they kept showing Wade, you know, off looking like a deer in the headlights, as Andy said. And my mother goes to my father, "Who is that guy? He looks like he's lost." And my father said, "That's the Cowboys coach." So there's my mother just watching a game asking, "Who's the old man on the sidelines who looks like he's lost?" And that is the guy running the show in Dallas.
Is this the man?
And like I said, it's nice to start out 5-0. Let's see how Dallas finishes the year. That's what I'll be more interested in. All right, Cowboys versus Patriots. Good morning, gentlemen. I believe the media is looking for the third team to join the Patriots and Colts in this elite of the league. I think that the NFL is also hoping for that because otherwise the Super Bowl will most likely be between the Colts and Pats 2 weeks prior. The NFC is a weaker conference, and they need more than hype to compete with the AFC. I guess everyone is excited about Romo and the Cowboys, but come on, guys, they are so overrated. Both teams haven't played a great schedule, but the talent level across the board is a bit uneven. Remember the word of the day for this Sunday, experience. We've been there, done that. No drop snaps here. Go Pats. William in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Yeah, you know what's funny is
I'd put the Cowboys ahead of the Colts, and you guys will make fun of me, but
you put the Cowboys ahead of the Colts and what?
In my power rankings.
Oh, sorry.
I think the Cowboys have a very good chance of being a more balanced football team.
Do we have nothing to do for the last hour? Because we could really, really attack them on that one.
I'm just saying.
I'll leave that one aside. I won't take the bait for a change. But wouldn't it be – I think this would be great. I think Dallas has a great chance. You know, it is a long way to go, but I think they have a great chance to be last year's Bears, be the best of the NFC, okay?
And it doesn't take much.
So
you don't have to be a good
wouldn't
team.
Wouldn't it be better for the league? You know, these conspiracy theorists that think the league is out to get the Patriots. Wouldn't it be better for the league if Dallas wins this game, this regular season game? So that way, when the Super Bowl comes around, not everybody is saying, oh, they have no chance. They already played once,
right,
and the Patriots beat them, and they beat them in Dallas when Dallas was 5-0. And if they couldn't beat them in that spot, how are they going to beat them here? Well, if Dallas wins, then at least there's 2 weeks of intrigue for that Super Bowl.
Yep. And one thing I'll say, everyone's got the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Watch out for my Redskins. You know, they're still sneaking around the chicken coop there. They've only lost one game.
Come up with a new phrase, will you, Sean? Jeez.
That's a Corso. Sneaking around the chicken coop.
I thought it was Sean Salisbury.
No, I would never say anything.
Sean Salisbury is don't sleep on fill in the blank, because if you do, they're going to come back and get you.
But I think the Cowboys have a long ways to go. I mean, the Redskins, their defense is playing great. If Campbell can continue to improve, I think they're going to be a factor. I wouldn't pencil, again, with the coaching there. Let's see. Yeah. Now, remember,
with the coaching.
I'm not penciling anything.
No,
I'm just saying
now
they look like the best.
I don't mean
team.
You. I mean, a lot of people are saying, you know, they're the team that's going to the Super Bowl. Remember one thing that we haven't talked about. Two games, T.O. hasn't done much. If he gets shut out this week and they lose, I will be at that locker because
bring
you
your
know,
popcorn.
Yeah, because something, it's going to be, you know, all of a sudden it's not going to be in that soundbite thing. He said, "Oh, I don't mind being the decoy." Yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
now, you know, I watched. You know, we found out something yesterday, Tom, that kind of disappointed Andy and I with the ESPN things and all that stuff that they do. Those main events, they're all scripted. Did you know that?
Well, I knew Kenny Mayne was here yesterday.
Yeah, but you know, it's all like they actually have it written out,
takes,
and they give it to the players, and they have them read the lines.
Oh,
and
it's kind of
you know. So I kind of lost a little bit of zip for me, even though I didn't really love those segments anyway.
But you thought it was like a spontaneous type.
But
I thought they did a long interview and took
stuff
a couple
out.
Lines
yes.
that fit their purposes, kind of cut it up.
That's what I thought.
Now it's just
that's what I thought. But anyway,
stupid.
Giving away the secrets of ESPN.
So they do that, but now I'm taking it a step further. I'm listening to ESPN Radio this morning with Mike and Mike, and Sean Salisbury is on. And you know how they do that? Is it first and 10 or what's the show on NFL Live, the nightly show, right? NFL mm-hmm. Live, and they have the four down segment that Salisbury goes at it with John Clayton all mm-hmm. the time, and Salisbury's always like ripping Clayton.
Right.
You know, he's really
I saw it last night.
He's
actually.
Being rude for the most part. Well, I found out today. Well. Golic filled in for Salisbury earlier in the week, evidently. And last night, if you saw it, Salisbury took a shot at Golic because I've been doing this show. I've been this show for 8 years, and I didn't watch Mike Golic when he was on. I didn't want him to put me to sleep or something like that. So they were having fun with that today. And Golic is saying, hey, look, you know, I'm there and I'm doing this. I'm filling in, and I got the producer telling me, "Okay, John Clayton's going to come on, and you got to really give it to Sean now. You got to really give it to John now, like the way Sean does, and you got to do this and this, and you got to really go." He goes, "Hey, look, I'm not doing what Sean Salisbury does. He could do whatever he wants, and I'm doing it the way I want." So evidently, everything on ESPN is just totally scripted.
Right? They make characters. That's all they are. They're a bunch of characters.
You know, like they make it look like
apparently,
there's some real
Emmett
tension.
Is the idiot.
But they set it up like there's some real tension between Salisbury and Clayton that makes you want to watch. It's all fake.
Right? Because sometimes you're thinking, "Boy, I don't think that was a joke." You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you're
because they get mean.
Right? They do get. They get really mean with each other, and Clayton is just so geeky that it's painful to watch. He's like rolling. Did you see him last night? He's like rolling his eyes and stuff.
Well, at one point last night, Salisbury said something and stunned him, and it took Clayton like he was stumbling and fumbling. But one time I think I heard Salisbury take a shot at the disease that Clayton's wife had or something. I was like, that's a little over the line, no?
He's just a buffoon.
He's
Sean
not
Salisbury.
Good. That's what I don't get. He's not funny. He's not a good character, and he's not in any way a good analyst.
But you know what they like for their
doesn't
purposes?
He like take pictures of girls or his pee-pee or something? Wasn't there like a story?
Yeah, there was some kind of sexual thing.
So how does he keep his job?
Pee-pee, what are you, three?
What do you want me to say?
The hoo-hoos and the ho-hos.
Is schlong? Is it penis acceptable?
Yes, penis would be acceptable. Thank you very much, Tom.
Well, I know the D word's not. I got kicked off once for saying that. Called Corey Dillon that word, and Fred said, get out.
Classic moments of PFW in progress history. This is the guy who claims he never swears on the radio, too.
Steve in Montana. He says,
Yes.
He says, I have heard that the Cowboys plan on keeping Roy Williams focused on Randy Moss. Well, that's advantage Patriots. If they only double Randy, Moss will school Roy Williams and beat him like a redheaded stepchild. They will have to triple him, and when they do, they will have plenty of other poison to choose from. Ben Watson, Dante Stallworth, Wes Welker, Jabbar Gaffney, Kevin Falk, Sammy Morris. It will suck to play on the Cowboys' defense on Sunday.
It will suck to play on the – that's a funny line.
Anytime that Roy Williams is anywhere near Randy Moss, that's going to be advantage Patriots, in my opinion. So – I don't know what they're going to do with him, to be honest with you. I can't. That's going to be, to me, the most intriguing part of the game, because you know the Patriots are coming out with the wide receivers. They're not coming out with a two tight end set. So I want to see what they do with Williams, how the Patriots exploit that. That'll be interesting, because that is, you know.
How have the Cowboys been against the run so far?
Good. They've been really good against the run.
So no one's really running on them? It's just all throwing?
Yeah, that's I wouldn't say they're not the 85 Bears, but they've been pretty solid against the run. I mean, if I were you know how Bill just, he'll attack the weakness?
Yeah.
So I would assume that he's just going to throw on him first and then try to wear him down with the running game. Okay, this is Karen. She says, I love your show. I heard Andy and Paul discussing the Steelers yesterday. Andy thought they were really good, and Paul didn't think that they were that good at all. I heard Merrill Hodge, a big Pittsburgh homer, on ESPN say to watch out for Pittsburgh because they are one of the only teams that has a defense that can get to Brady and Manning. He felt the Steelers would really be able to rattle these quarterbacks and cause problems. What do you think? Pittsburgh's defense that good? Peter King keeps harping on the Patriots rule violation about taping. He had in his column that the 130 million people who have watched the Patriots win three Super Bowls have a right to know if they cheated in Super Bowls and need to know what is on the tapes that were destroyed. Don't we already know what was on these tapes? It's a bunch of coaches waving their hands and arms. Why is Peter going on and on about this? So how good is the Steelers' defense and what's going on with Peter King?
Yeah, we'll go to Pittsburgh first. How good? I mean, I remember when we talked about it yesterday. I don't remember saying that I didn't think Pittsburgh was very good. The team that I was ripping was Baltimore, and because Andy,
it's true, you hate Baltimore.
I think they stink. And you were saying that because of where they play Pittsburgh, in a span of, I know there's another team in there that I think stinks. That
the Eagles.
It's Eagles.
Ravens.
Another team that'll have three wins at the time when they
Steelers.
Play. And they have a three-game stretch, and Andy's premise, not a bad premise, is that the third game coming off those three is going to be made a little bit more difficult, whereas I was saying I just don't think that Baltimore's any different than any other opponent to be coming off of. Not necessarily saying that I thought Pittsburgh stunk. I think Pittsburgh is a solid team, and right now I think they're a solid number three in the AFC behind the Pats and Colts. Solid. Mm-hmm. I think now, I don't know how you.
And
you
I think
feel
they have talent on. I think they have the key that I look for. Talent on some balance on both sides of the ball. I think they can play defense. I think they can run it a little. Unlike Eric, I think Roethlisberger can not only make the throws he needs to, can buy himself time if he needs to. He can avoid a Mike Vrabel, roll out a little bit, and hit a receiver. I think they can do a lot of different things, and that needs to be part of the blueprint to beat the Patriots. You need to be able to do a bunch of different things.
I totally agree with that. I think that's right on point. And the thing with Roethlisberger, I think that people sometimes get confused of, and they call him overrated. I don't think he's a guy that can consistently throw the ball 40-plus times, 35, 45 times, and not make mistakes.
Right.
He's better when he's more in the 25 to 30 range. That doesn't mean he's not very good. Brady has proven he can do it anyway. Okay, that's why he's great. Roethlisberger's not great. He's very good. But
I'm not so sure Roethlisberger couldn't do that.
Well, I think whenever
he did it more often.
Whenever he has, he generally has made mistakes.
Well, whenever he has, it's been like few and that's not what they want to do there. So
right.
I think if he got into a span of doing it for a season, I think you'd see him have some success.
That's part of it too. They don't want to play.
That's what he did
that
in Miami, right? Well, he was in the gun and he was throwing the ball 50 times a game.
That's a whole different.
No, but I'm saying he's done it. It's not like he hasn't ever done it.
But even if it was in the SEC or the Pac-10, I'd say, well, okay, he's done it. But he's in the MAC.
See, I think he's done
it too, though. So, and that shows you what he's done in the end. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I thought he was going to be good too.
So did I, but apparently he's not.
Where I would worry about Pittsburgh against the Patriots is, and I do agree with Merrill Hodge, even though the email is right, he's a homer.
But that was like Fred saying the Patriots.
They can get pressure on Brady.
They're one of the few teams that can bring that pressure,
and they don't have to sell out to do it.
And they got Dick?
But they have
LeBeau with a second reference in
the
show?
In my opinion, a terrible secondary. And I think you can throw all over Pittsburgh. But that's the key. Every time that Pittsburgh has caused trouble for the Patriots in the past with Brady, it's been because they've gotten in Brady's face.
Right.
I mean, you can look back to that game.
Well, they've
never
had a very good secondary, have they?
No. And you look back to that game
on
Halloween.
Hank Poteet and Chad Scott were playing for them.
Right. Char Scott, they call him.
Chard Scott and Hank get beat.
The other thing
when we can squeeze those references in.
The other thing with Peter King, by the way, look, we've talked about this ad nauseum on this show, but no, we don't know what was on those tapes,
nope.
And the NFL isn't telling anybody what's on those tapes.
And there's plenty of rumors out there right. that are on the record rumors of taping of practices revolving around Super Bowls.
And that's why Peter King and others nationally aren't satisfied.
And that's
why it's got nothing to do with us.
He's not biased. He's a Patriot Bill Walsher.
He's been a big time
Walshing
Bill,
this team's bills
time
for
we,
a long time.
We talked about Bill Walshing as the is now the way we refer to.
Yeah, remember when you misread it? We're going with that all the time.
We're going with
now.
That as a permanent thing.
It's now Bill Walshing because it's more appropriate. We're not sure if we can say that. We know we can say bitches, but we're not sure if we can say the other word. Yeah, that thing.
Who the heck is this?
Just so you know, she would qualify.
Well, no.
Turn that computer sideways so I can see it.
Shannon has another email. Well, you can debate to your blue in the
something.
You know what? Oops, I meant face.
Bill's
hotter than Giselle, but I'll give you.
Walsh's.
I'll give you the top five who aren't. 5 Cyndi Lauper, 4 Sarah Jessica Parker, 3 Oprah.
Oh.
2 Hillary, you can't fool me, she ain't straight, Clinton, and 1 Rosie O'Donnell.
She doesn't even pretend.
But by the way, attaches a picture of one that is hotter than Giselle.
Who is that?
It looked like Eva Longoria, but it's not.
No, no way.
No.
It's just a hot babe.
Not with those.
And it's in.
It's non-English. It's kind of like the TVs behind you
right.
who are watching the Spanish channel, because it says,
Azagishin
esit amicor mar ezim sigit.
Okay.
I see it, and I like it. Just print out, the size of a freaking quarter.
Neil said, I'm listening to Tuesday's show. Please tell Fred to shut up. This whole picking the Cowboys thing is killing me.
Where's Fred? Does he know the second hour is supposed to be picks?
He's busy.
He hasn't been here for the second hour for, 2 weeks, has he?
Was he not here last week?
I feel like we're always getting his picks
Where's
later.
Where's Eric the not-so-great?
Who cares? Should I put this picture out for Eric? He'll like it.
All right, that's enough. Okay. Jason, do you think the Patriots will come out firing with a no-huddle offense like they did versus San Diego this year?
Well, I think
they did last week, too.
That'd be interesting because of the as Bill calls it, I believe he told me it was an aberration, a statistical aberration, the fact that they've only scored how many points? Is it 6 points or 9 points or something ridiculously low in the first quarter for the Cowboys, and then they blow it out the rest of the way?
They've started slow.
So I wonder. If you come out and you try to get up 10, 14 points and get a little cushion there.
That is one of the problems that we should probably mention a little bit is the Cowboys have been a slow starting team, and that's not good against the Patriots.
Bill thinks it's an aberration. I asked him about it yesterday, and he didn't want to know part of it.
Oh, he said...
He thinks they're good, and by the end of the year, that'll even itself out, and all their quarters will look
the
same.
But it's not the end of the year. It's right now.
I agree. Why don't you tell him that tomorrow when you ask him your 5 questions?
Five questions with Tom Casale.
You don't ask questions and they make fun of you. You ask questions and they make fun of you. You can't win around here.
Exactly. You've gotten to the bottom of it. We make fun of you.
Unbelievable.
Ask
Paul. I want to know a couple of things. You know, I pulled a Breer. I asked a couple of things I wanted to know. I did it once.
And you'll do it again tomorrow.
Nah, I'm pretty much out of it.
Tomorrow you'll be fine, though. There'll be nobody there. I'll be eating a donut.
What do we got here? Just talk. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, and Paul's getting the games
okay,
ready.
Okay, he said, Ray.
Tells me to talk, and then he cuts me off.
Ray from Springfield. I have a question concerning the regulation timekeeping methods. On Monday, Dallas went for the onside kick. What no one has mentioned is that the time clock did not start on the play. There was 20 seconds left on the clock. The officials on the field only took 2 seconds off the clock on the play that I timed during NFL replay. When is the time supposed to restart? When the ball is kicked or when the first contact with a player?
First contact with a player.
If it's the first contact, it was a total of 4 seconds from contact to whistle, 6 from when it was kicked. So did the officiating crew give the Cowboys extra time to make this week's game with the Patriots more of a draw?
There's absolutely no way that 6 seconds. I mean, first of all, it's when the first contact is made, but there's absolutely no way.
It is first contact, not possession?
First contact with a player.
It is?
Yeah, a receiver.
I thought it was possession.
But there's no way that 6 seconds went off between a kick and when that ball was recovered. It was a kick that went 10 yards, one big bounce, the guy hit it, and then it went another 10 yards, and the guy dove on it. There's no way that was 6 seconds. As soon as the guy recovers it, that's it. The play's over.
Not like Super Bowl 36 where they wanted the game to end so the Patriots could have the upset. Just let that clock run.
This one says for Paul. PJ Naccarelli. Hey, guys, I just want
my buddy PJ.
I just want
PJ ripping me about nowadays.
That contrary to what Andy said yesterday, I don't hate Paul.
You should.
I just strongly dislike him. Just playing, Paul. Don't forget that I was one of the only emailers that wrote in after your solo show to say that you did a good job and that it was a pretty good show. So you were lying?
You're a drunk?
That shows you two things.
You Irish?
One, I am completely nuts. And two, I do like what you bring to the show. Not to say that you don't annoy me at least three times a show, but it's all in good fun. About the game this week, do you think Dallas can be making this into too big of a game? It is only week six,
yes.
And at least T.O. is treating it like the Super Bowl. He wrote on his locker that he isn't talking because of the magnitude of this game. It won't affect them this week, but I don't care what the line is. I love the Vikings to upset the Cowboys.
When you say yes, Paul, you mean too big of a game for this week or moving forward?
I think they're putting too much stock into this game.
I agree.
Yes.
But for this game, like,
yeah,
does it?
Because
I think it could hurt them moving forward.
It's
they put too
also,
much stock in
yes,
this,
I agree
then they lose,
too.
And mm-hmm. the sky's
yes,
falling, and it's just a game.
I think either way, even if they win it, I think they put too much stock in it moving forward. But I just think that it's a regular season game, a non-conference regular season
right.
game at that. These are the four least important games that they'll one of the four least important games that they play. And they've put way too much stock in it, in my opinion.
And he says, P.S., I wasn't being a bitch or trying to Bill Walsh Paul. I just don't want him to think I'm a...
You were Bill Walshing him. Not in a gay way, of course.
P.J., you're not the only one that hates me. I'm sure there's a lot of others out there besides Andy.
Yeah, that's true.
What was I going to say?
God only knows.
Oh, the line is up to 6.5. Started at 4, up 2.5 points.
Still
well,
take the pass.
I'm just telling you what's going on in
Vegas land.
Yeah, so obviously
everybody's taking the Pats, right?
Well, and they
you're trying to get money the other way.
Say like in college, Mississippi State and Tennessee. Tennessee's 7, and 86% of the people are on Tennessee, and the line hasn't changed. That means that they want you to bet Tennessee because they're not changing the line, so they're trying to sucker you into Tennessee. They obviously are trying to up that line because, you know, they don't want to get killed on they're getting killed on the Patriots, basically. And they don't want to get killed on them anymore.
Eh, they're going to get killed again if 86% are taking the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree.
Fred doesn't. He's one of the 14%.
Hey, Fred's an idiot. Paul, Tom, and Andy. Toward the end of the Buffalo game, you started seeing T.O. losing it a little after the fifth interception. Considering his relationships with previous quarterbacks, what happens if Romo and T.O. struggle on this big stage this weekend? Your thoughts? T.O. will throw him under the bus quicker than you can bat an eye.
Right. He already did it under the radar. Remember when I read that quote that when somebody asked him about quarterbacks and this now he includes Donovan McNabb in favorite quarterbacks he'd like to have? I mean, T.O. is...
He's nuts.
Is nuts. He's bipolar or something. I don't know what it all is. All that medication he almost overdosed on.
Like ADD. He's always off somewhere else.
And he's taking legal medications. I'm sure some other illegal drugs and different things. And yeah, there's a lot going on in that head.
Do we
and it
agree
can blow up
that,
any time.
Like overall, Donovan McNabb is a bigger star than Tony Romo. I mean, Romo's getting there, but and he had no problems turning on Donovan McNabb in his city. All right, that's McNabb's team, and he's going to have no trouble.
T.O. would turn on the Pope and the Vatican.
Yep.
He has no care.
And
biblical references to the show today.
It's big,
I'm
especially
not
from somebody who's never really read the Bible or know much about it.
It.
Just know it's fiction. tick, tick, tick.
So
emails start coming in from our Catholics.
Well, they don't know who wrote it. They just made it up.
Yeah, it's fiction.
I agree.
Fiction. Fiction. Fact.
There's two things I think that are fiction. That's one. Another thing involves a plane that I won't mention on here for we'll be getting
fiction,
you know.
Oh, the movie?
Wow.
Yeah, shot down.
Pretty sure people know what you're talking about.
I don't think they'll be able to figure that one out.
Should we get to the picks? Or
speaking of the picks, finally.
You got to take a break before you do that.
Right.
Butters comes in to make his picks.
Here comes Butters, and we'll take a break and get to the picks.
Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in progress.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com Radio. Your New England Revolution have been one of the hottest teams in Major League Soccer all season long. Summer may have turned to fall, but the soccer action is still hot at Gillette Stadium. Taylor Twellman.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pat Noonan.
Shot, and it's in! Patrick
Newton.
And the rest of the Revs are looking to finish 0-7 strong and get revved up for the playoffs. Get to Gillette Stadium as the Revs make their push for the playoffs in a third straight trip to MLS Cup. With a few pivotal regular season home games left, it's not too late for you to be a part of the action. Tickets for the rest of the season are on sale now and start at just $18, making Revolution Soccer a fun and affordable day for the whole family. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Get your kicks, the New England Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Tom Casale hit on the over this week, so he's got some big plans for the leg.
I'm going to take some of my winnings and buy you a nice gift certificate to a farm that'll help you grow some balls.
Patriots.com radio.
Speaking of the leg, what? Somebody just said pink?
That was the announcer boy.
I'm back. Fred's here.
Yeah, we can tell.
The show has just spun off a course. Took you three seconds.
Speaking of the leg, where is he?
There's that geeky leg.
Dorky leg.
There he is. Wow.
Wearing a jacket and everything.
Wow, it's a long jacket. He looks like an outlaw.
You don't have a shotgun.
I always knew this was going to happen at some point, but you don't have it now, do you?
Not part of the black.
Let me at least say goodbye to my wife and kids.
You and Chris Ferrero, when I see you coming with a long jacket on, I'm going the other way.
I'm ready to go. Just pull it out.
Easy.
Gary's got that one.
You gotta cue that one up.
Tom has more of those.
You pull it out, and I'm gonna stick this in you.
Don't ever say that again, or I'm gonna stick this inside you.
All right. Let's get to the pick portion.
All right. Good bounce back week for all involved last week, Fred. Let's see.
Which means, Eric, you can care about it this week.
The overall
had a good one.
Everybody had a good week last week. Fred and I shared the top spot at 11-3. Andy, Tom, and Eric all went 10-4, so obviously the games were easy last week. With the spread, let's see. It was Tom at 8-6, Paul at 7-7, Andy, Eric, and Fred at 5-9.
Cream's rising to the top, Pop.
What do you have to buy Tom, Fred?
Call him Pop?
By the way, I think he has that mathematically.
You made another one of your dumb bets?
No, he has to buy me dinner.
Oh.
No.
That's the deal.
You said if you beat me, I'll buy you dinner at any place you want.
No, yes, it wasn't at any place. You picked the place for him, right?
I said you picked the place, and it was at Ruth and Chris's. And I said,
Ruth and Chris.
Sounds like me now.
And I said, if I win, it'll just be something normal, like Outback.
Okay, I do have to buy you something.
Yeah.
I don't remember that portion of it, but I don't care.
It's convenient.
It'll be like $30.
I'm going to beat you anyway. So
I hope you
win,
Fred, because Ruth's Chris is a great place.
Oh, I know.
Ruth's a good choice.
Well, you can take Eric.
Ruth Chris's?
No.
Call it a date.
All right.
Ruth and Chris.
For the season, Tom and Fred, overall winners, 50 and 26. Eric, who doesn't care, and me are next at 48 and 28. And then Andy at 44 and 32.
I do care, by the way.
Well off the pace, by the way. You got to pick it up a little bit.
I'll try.
All right.
Thanks,
with,
Dad.
With the number, Tom is running away. 37, 35, and 4.
Well, we He's a professional, though.
Eric, who we all know has an asterisk next to him, 36, 36, and 4. Fred
Don't
is next at 32, 40, and 4. And then Andy and I, 30, 42, and 4.
32, so.
I'm tied
40.
With you with the spread?
Yeah.
That's because the last week it was so bad.
Right? As Fred would say, that's because I pick a lot of upsets, Andy. That's why you're. That's why I'm doing so bad. Mm. I don't just pick the obvious ones. All right. Anyway,
no
that's the standings after
okay.
5 weeks, Fred.
All right. So let's get into week 6 of the NFL season. And Paul, what's the first one on the docket?
You're totally unprepared, huh? Cincinnati.
Eric's prepared. He's got his checklist over there to cross the
well,
games
he's
got
to cross them out as they come. Cincinnati is at
hey,
Kansas
works.
City.
You should try it.
No, I shouldn't. I'd be loser. A dork like you.
You already are, so.
No, I'm not.
No. No, I'm not. You
I'm
are.
I'm not mad.
Andy's cool.
No, I'm not. You are.
Not as cool as Eric.
All right.
Yeah. It's like third grade.
I know. I love it.
You're going to be shooting rubber bands at each other.
Sorry. When you two argue, it's Mr. Maturity goes at it. I mean,
we have emailers that email.
It's so defensive. It's unbelievable.
Am I first? What's the game?
You got to get it off the subject now.
Right.
We can stay with this.
Cincinnati at Kansas City.
Cincinnati.
Where Damon Heward will play. Cincinnati by 27.5. You still want the
I'll
Bengals?
I'll still take Cincinnati.
Bengals on the road, favored by 3.
I'll take Cincinnati to win. This is a game where they beat up on the Chiefs. I don't care where it is. That Arrowhead thing, when you're as bad as I think the Chiefs are, screw them.
Tom Casale.
I think I took the Chiefs in the paper because Mark Capella came up to me and said, we're the only two guys still picking the Chiefs because they play at Arrowhead. That tells me I'm on the wrong side. I'm going to switch that and go with the Bengals, even though, I don't know, who cares.
Hey, did they send pizza? Who sent the food?
Lucky.
The Sarge.
Also known as the United States government.
Lucky. Did he send pizza, too?
No. What? Why do you need pizza,
I'm just
too?
I'm wondering.
We got subs. We got wings.
Subs,
we got
wings.
Soda.
Okay.
We're happy.
You're never happy.
How's that 35 pounds coming?
PFW in progress, fat and happy as usual today. Eric Scalavino.
All right, I'm going with the Bengals both ways. And when the hell are we going to see Brody Croyle for the Chiefs?
We saw him last week.
Yeah, but I mean as a starter.
Okay.
For about a week when they realize he's the worst quarterback in the history of the world.
They are in deep.
Damon Heward?
Damon
Heward is twice the man, 10 times the quarterback that Brody Croyle
I agree,
be.
And he's not a good enough quarterback to play in the NFL.
Right.
But I do agree that
Brody Croyle couldn't play at Northeastern.
Oh, let's not get mentally irregular now. Anyway, I will take the Bengals both sides as well.
See, the problem with, Artrell Hawkins was in Cincinnati and got arrested for a DUI.
That's correct.
Because he hit somebody at a gas station. The other part of it they didn't tell you is that he hit Carson Palmer. So I'm picking the Kansas City with the upset.
The Kansas City.
You got
City.
The Kansas City.
The upset.
Oh
the entire
God,
city
is
going to be
funny.
There. That's good.
All right, I don't know how I can compose myself from laughter after that last one, but the next game is Houston travels to Jacksonville, which should shape up as a pretty good AFC South battle. Jacksonville by 6.5, Andy, with the Evan Schefter deep sigh into the microphone.
Who's Evan Schefter?
I mean, Adam Schefter, I'm sorry. I went to college with a kid named Evan Schefter.
Oh, good story.
Houston, go figure, Eric. I knew a kid at BU named Evan Schefter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Houston, I don't feel great about, but I hate the Jaguars. Been off them for years. Remember when I was a cat guy? I liked a lot of the cat teams.
Right.
Off them. Garrard, I know he threw for like two.
He's yet to throw an interception this year.
And he had pretty big numbers for him last week, 2 and change. I think he stinks.
I do, too.
I think the Houston Texans bounce back with a big win here, an emphatic AFC win, because I still think the Jags are one of those middling AFC teams. They have the good defensive line, play some physical football, can run the ball, all that crap. But that said, Houston wins, and Andre Davis continues to shine. You know, I thought it was funny. Gary Kubiak said, you know, he's going to start the rest of the way. He's just a guy that needed an opportunity. I'm not sure I really want to jump on my Andre Davis bandwagon, but a couple weeks in a row he's made some plays for them. That continues.
Okay. Tom,
I'm not sure
if you still remember, but it's Houston at Jacksonville.
I'm not going to go on for 10 minutes like Andy did.
What's the number again?
6.5.
I'm going to take.
Why, you wouldn't have said that to me?
No, we're going to analyze the games around here. Sorry.
I'm going to take Jacksonville to win and Houston to cover.
Jacksonville, it's not 2.5.
Jacksonville to win. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Tom, neither Tom nor I owe Andy lunch from last week when he picked one team to win by 1.5.
And the other team.
He pulled a Fred last week. Fred.
But later admitted that he screwed up on the air and
just didn't want to admit to it.
Eric.
I like Jacksonville to win. I think Houston will make it close, though. Houston is coming around as a good team, but I think to be a good team, you have to win on the road. They haven't proved that enough to me yet. So I'll take them to cover, but I'll take the Jags to win.
Okay. Yeah, same with me. I'm going to take Jacksonville to win, but 6.5, a little bit too much in a tight division battle. I'm impressed with Houston. I've got my eye on it.
Mark me down for the same thing.
All right, Freddie. All right, moving along. Evidently, Fred has once moved us along a little bit here. We only have
some place to be.
We only have 36 minutes to do the last 10 games here. So,
Moses.
Anyway, Miami travels to Cleveland to face the evidently now tough. I think that's the way one of the emailers. Cleveland, tough team. The tough Cleveland Browns. Browns favored by 4.5.
I am going to take the Browns to win and cover. Liked enough what I saw. If they don't turn the ball over, they can play. I think the Dolphins stink, and that's enough for me. Even though Ronnie Brown having a very good year, I'm going to say that Romeo's defense will take away Ronnie Brown. He'll target him the way he targeted Randy Moss. So I'm going to say Romeo gets a win this week, stays at 500, keeps that career and future alive in Cleveland.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Miami gets their first win this week. I got a feeling Cleo Lemon's going to come in and be a little bit better than Trent Green, and we're going to have to hear about Cleo Lemon. Also, I'll take the Browns to win and the Dolphins to cover.
I like that. I like that thinking too. I'm going to take the Browns to win. Now I'm going to cover. I think Cleo Lemon's a pretty decent quarterback.
I know nothing about Cleo Lemon, but I'm also
Ben Roethlisberger stinks. Cleo Lemon's a pretty good quarterback.
That's correct.
You got to give him credit. It's very Andy Hart-like. He's just going to go down with the ship with Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's true. I once said I'd rather have what was it? It involved Rohan.
You'd rather
Davey.
Have Rohan Davey in someone
and a
in
running
the
back than
Tom Brady and Kevin Falk or something like that.
Anyway. That was up until now. That was the dumbest thing said on this program.
I like Cleveland to get back to 500, and I'm rooting for that because I'd like to see Romeo stick around. I was impressed with them last week, but I'll take Miami to cover 4.5. They'll lose by a field goal.
The question is, does Cleveland take, you know, a decent performance against the league's best team and work on that, or was that it and now they have a setback?
They played the Colts last week?
I thought they played the Cowboys.
Well, so, you know, I was about to pick Miami, but I think I'm going to pick Cleveland in this game.
Was it because of my sarcastic shot?
No. I just don't think – I think that Romeo will keep them – energized. He won't let them have a setback.
Cleveland both ways?
Yeah.
Romeo needs to know?
Yep.
All right.
Romeo must win.
Great headline. Minnesota. Minnesota against Chicago. And are the Bears back, Andy? Bears by 5.5. Are they, you know, is that fluke win Sunday
Where's
night?
Where's the game?
At Chicago.
I'll take the Bears at home.
The Bears.
Minnesota has one thing working against them this week. I think my boy's going to start again. Tavares Jackson back in the lineup against that defense. That can only spell turnover city. Even if it's banged up, if there's guys like Urlacher and Briggs on the field, I don't like my boy's chances, so I'll take the Bears.
Yeah, I'll take the Bears to win, but I see this being an ugly defensive battle, and I think that keeps Minnesota in the game. So I don't know if 5.5 is going to be enough, but I'll take the points.
I'll take the Bears both ways. Being at home, I don't think Minnesota's that great. So we'll go with Bears twice.
I'm going to do the Casale special here. I'll take the points, but I like the Bears to win the game.
Bears, I mean, the Vikings, they still good against the run?
Yes.
Yeah.
They've been pretty good against the run.
That's why I'm going to take the points.
They got some good defensive linemen now.
I'll go with you.
Bears are not running the ball well.
Fred, you really don't want to analyze any games today, huh?
Did you see
do all that?
They finally admitted that Benson and Thomas just didn't get along, and that's why they had to trade him? It wasn't money. It wasn't anything else. It was they just didn't get along, and one guy had to go.
So they went with
the draft pick.
Sounds like they kept the bad guy, too.
Well, they did.
Based on what they're talking
probably
about.
Probably based on because of they had drafted him, and you feel like you're tied to him, and that you have to. Looks like they made the wrong decision.
I agree. Philadelphia in the next game. The Eagles travel to the Meadowlands to face the reeling Jets. Philadelphia road favorite here by 3. Mm. Is it time to pull the plug on Chad Pennington?
I think it was time a few weeks ago.
Probably. I heard it described well. If your veteran quarterback is making mistakes like the rookie quarterback, then put the rookie quarterback in and let him learn. And I think that's a pretty good description. I forgot who said that. Sorry for stealing it, but
I just
it was a good point.
Yeah, I think it's gotten to the point now where the Jets have become ridiculously easy to defend because they just have no threat of a vertical passing game whatsoever.
Because he stinks. He can't throw the ball. It's not his fault. But I like my quarterbacks to be able to get the ball down the field.
He's very good at what he does, but it's limited.
Right. Maybe in an arena league where you don't have to throw it that far, he'd be good. Make some decisions, put the ball, whatever, but not anymore. So, yeah, it is time to change, and they lose this game. The Eagles, Dawkins, not Dawkins, I did it again. Westbrook, my boy on my fantasy team, back, putting up big points. Roll Eagles.
Yeah, I like the Eagles basically because of what you said about them not being able to throw deep. I think that allows the Eagles to put pressure on Pennington. I don't think he finishes the game. I think Clemens does, but I'll go with the Eagles for the win.
Mm-hmm. Bring in Kellen Clemens, but it's not going to be good enough. Eagles.
Yeah, I'll take the Eagles, too. I mean, with Chad Pennington, you're looking at these games. He's going 32 for 39 with three picks.
Right.
I mean, so in other words, he's still able to do what he does well at a very high level, but you can't win
you
that.
Need to
you
win.
Can't win that way anymore. I mean, you just can't.
And
can't
they drafted
just do
Clemens
one thing.
For a reason.
Right. They got to make the move.
You weren't sold on this guy for your entire future. That's why you drafted Clemens. And, yeah.
And Mangini,
go to him.
And Mangini needs to do it now because you need to find out if Clemens is the guy or if you need to look into that in the offseason.
Well, it's all coming back to roost for Eric Mangini for what he did.
What did he do?
Another loss. And
he
I'm
didn't
going
do anything.
The Eagles both ways.
He didn't do anything.
I know. You like what he did, but I don't.
No. He
I
didn't
think
do
he
it.
Didn't
Mike
do
Tannenbaum
anything.
Mike Tannenbaum did it.
Word on the street is Mike Tannenbaum did it. Everybody who matters knows that.
Well,
including Bill Belichick.
But he was keyed into it by Mangini. And then
No.
That's not according to the stories that have come out recently.
Word on the street is people in this building who matter know that Tannenbaum was the one responsible.
Really?
Yes.
And how'd you find this out?
But I'm not Bill
Belichick. I have
sources.
I can't talk about that.
Well, I know that.
Think you're the only
evidently,
one with sources
the ire,
around here?
The ire is directed toward Tannenbaum.
There's no,
he doesn't.
And that's true. The ire, even before Mangini went to the Jets, has always been directed at Tannenbaum. He's a jerk.
Evidently, it's okay to say that sort of thing.
Why do you say he's a jerk?
Oh, you saw him in the press box. You know, he's another Napoleon in there. The last time the Jets beat the Patriots, whooping it up.
Was he burping like that, too?
Kind of like the Patriots were jumping into an elevator yelling, take that, Mangini. Sorry, Eric. Whooping it up.
Who does that?
The Patriots.
The press box.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fred's back. Do you need to repick this Cowboys game? You might be taking
Saint
the Patriots
Louis.
Now.
Yeah, we'll get it out of him. St. Louis travels to Baltimore. This is a game that could have some special interest to me, Tom. I'm interested in your opinions on this. St. Louis is getting,
you're going to pick the team you hate as your knockout
getting
pick?
Getting 9.5. I'm thinking about it.
Oh. I'm going to take the team you hate to win this game, but what is the points?
9.5.
9.5.
St. Louis where?
I'm telling
you. Baltimore.
I don't think Baltimore can beat anybody by 9.5. I don't care how stinky the Rams are. I'll take the Baltimore to win, the Baltimore, like Fred would say, and the Rams with the points.
Why not the St. Louis?
I thought you just said the Baltimore couldn't beat anybody by 9.5.
That's why he took the points.
Took the points.
Oh, yeah okay. I'll
try to nitpick my games just because I mess up once.
No, I was...
just because he's still breaking down the Houston-Jacksonville game.
Yeah.
Oh, that fat man.
The Ravens are a terrible big favorite, but the Rams are just awful right now. Just awful. So I'm going to go with the Ravens both ways. I don't
Steven
think
Jackson
they have a
playing?
Chance.
Wow.
Why do I always ask these questions?
I was thoroughly impressed, quote-unquote, by that 9-7 win over San Francisco last week, so I'm going to go with Ravens to win, but Rams to cover.
He did air quotes just so everybody knows we're on the radio.
I'm telling you, man, he's loading up that rifle now.
I'm not speaking to Andy ever again.
That shotgun in his mind is being loaded, and you're number one on the list.
He's got the jacket on underneath.
I know.
You know, that's why I'm kind of...
I'm running.
Trench coat mafia.
Kid gloves today. I'm just going to see if I can buy an extra week. I'm going to take the Rams to cover as well. I'll take Baltimore to win. What do you think of a knockout here, Thomas?
Well, yeah, I think the Ravens are going to win big.
Huh?
To lose,
I think the Ravens are
going to
win big.
How that would hurt.
I think the Rams are probably in most trouble of any team right now.
Well, try to listen to some of these games and see if you can come up with a better one because I really don't want to take Baltimore.
No, this is tough. I mean, yeah, Baltimore wins, but by 9 points, I don't think so. So I guess I'll take the Rams to cover.
Well, Fred's giving us a lot of insight today. Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Travels to Tampa Bay, where I think this is the lead pipe lock of the week. Tampa Bay by 3.
Huh?
This is a red flag game to me. Tom?
Yeah, somebody want to tell me why I shouldn't
the
just
whole
be
world's on Tennessee
picking
this week.
Tennessee?
This is a red flag game if ever there was one.
Zach Crockett sucked 15 years ago, and they're signing him.
What does that mean? In
it means the spread doesn't make any sense.
It means that everybody's betting Tennessee, and Vegas doesn't care.
Well, I'm betting Tennessee.
That means they know something that you don't.
They don't know anything basically. I don't. Tennessee wins this game easily.
Okay. I think this is going to be a very close game. I'm going to take Tennessee because they're my team, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Tampa Bay ends up winning this game.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the Titans both ways. Obviously, just think Vince Young is due for another big game. And when we're talking about before, good teams winning on the road. If they're really such a good team, they're going to win on the road. So
right.
I'm going with the Titans.
And he's going to get his Heisman, right? That was the latest.
Yeah,
they're really. That thing's
Reggie
coming
Bush.
Back with Reggie Bush
yeah.
and the whole crap.
Yeah,
he'll be happy. Get his Heisman.
According to Yahoo! Exclamation Sports.
Just to paint the picture, everybody's just staring at Fred right now with a dumbfounded look on their face.
All right, I'm going to fall into the red flag trap. I'm taking Tennessee. I don't think Tampa Bay is a very good team.
I'm taking Tampa Bay.
And to cover. Yeah. They're going to win big?
Sure.
What are you
taking Tampa Bay.
All right, next game.
Do you have anything to add? At
I mean,
all?
You were the only one. You said you were going
to
analyze
all pick,
it.
Yeah,
we all picked the other way. Can you tell us why?
I think Gruden's got them motivated. I think they're playing, and I think, you know.
I think they're playing. That's key to winning is actually playing.
They're just playing well.
I got to rethink this. I didn't know they were playing.
He just decided to take last week off?
Yeah. I think they're playing well, and I think Gruden's got them. I think they'll be all right.
Okay.
Tennessee's due for a letdown.
They had a bye last week.
Well, everyone loves them now, though.
They didn't have a bye last week. Because they were my knockout pick last week. And
Tennessee?
Atlanta,
that's
and they
right.
gave me a heart attack. Anyway, Washington is at Green Bay for the next game. And hopefully, Andy, you can give us a little bit more insight into this one. Redskins by 3.
Redskins by 3.
Oh, I'm sorry. Green Bay by 3. This is at Green Bay.
Green Bay by 3.
Over the Redskins?
Yes, Green Bay is favored by 3.
Go ahead, make your pick.
I didn't know you seemed so emotional about it. You might want to go first, but
it's
ridiculous.
I am going to take.
What is wrong with you all of a sudden?
I just this love of Green Bay. They're playing
they
at home. They got the same record.
I don't care. They are 4-1, and they should be
5-0. Go Pack. Go.
Just for Fred, I was on the fence there. I'm taking Green Bay just because Fred thinks it's such a dumb pick.
Good.
Go Packers. Go.
Go for it.
I mean, regardless of who wins, it's the right spread. The home team and two evenly matched teams. The home team
I
by
think
3.
Redskins are much better this year.
Yeah, obviously I'm going to go with the Redskins. I pick them every week.
Yeah, that's your team. That's okay. I'm saying Fred hasn't seen a downer Redskins football
defense,
all year.
That defense is back. Greg Williams bringing the heat. I think they make life miserable for Brett Favre. Get some turnovers.
Yeah, I can't believe Favre has played as well as he's played so far this year. I think last week you saw the beginning of the downward spiral again. So I'm going to take the Skins.
Yeah, I think this is a very evenly matched game. I think it can go either way. I'm going to take Green Bay at home, but definitely not going to be surprised if Washington wins it. I'll put you down, Fred, because I know you were offended by this spread. You were offended by the fact that the home team and two teams facing each other with one loss each, the home team by 3, somehow offended you. Carolina is at Arizona.
It's
where
an easy win.
Vinny Testaverde could possibly be in this game. Did you hear this stat, by the way? Vinny Testaverde he's appeared in more games in his career than the Carolina Panthers have played in their existence.
Oh my! Well, I liked the
by
one
by about 50.
He was the first overall pick 8 years before the Carolina Panthers existed
as
a franchise.
Also, the first time ever that two overall number one picks have been on the same team.
And they both stink.
Is Peppers the other one?
No, Carr.
That's right. What was Julius Peppers drafted? Second, third?
Two, wasn't he?
Probably.
It's possible that it was quarterbacks. Before I get
what was the spread?
Made fun of. I'm sorry. Arizona by 4.
Arizona at home by 4. Kurt Warner. Well, this is interesting. The two teams that wanted him are playing for Vinny Testaverde. I will go with the home team, the Arizona Cardinals. Early on boost, I think that's what you're going to get from Kurt Warner. Some good play and then some really bad play, and they realize why he was a backup again. I think they win this one. I hate the Panthers. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know. And plus, David Carr stinks.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I hate the Panthers, too, because they're maddening, but at least this time they have a reason. I mean,
yeah, but I'm saying they wouldn't have gone to the Super Bowl whether he got
hurt
or not.
Andy, you know what I did this week? I took a look at that team.
Arizona to cover?
Yeah, sure.
Because
what was the spread?
Four.
Sure.
Because, like, we all say, you know, boy, they're this talented team. So I looked at them. They're not all that talented.
Right.
They have Steve Smith, Julius Peppers, and a couple of good. I think we
D'Angelo
all,
Williams stinks.
Yeah, they have no running game. Their offensive line stinks. You can run the ball right at them.
They used to have a good defensive line.
Right, they're not physical anymore. You just the last 2 years they haven't been able to stop the run.
I think Chris Jenkins, all he does is bitch about his teammates.
I think the big thing is not the defensive line, but the linebacker. I think Dan Morgan. I think that's enormous.
Yeah,
I think that's ripped the heart right out of their.
They
defense.
Have no other
He's smaller
receiver.
Than Andy Hart.
They have no other receiver other than Steve Smith. They have no tight end to throw the ball to. So when you look at them on offense, they're not really all that scary. And if you can take Smith away, you pretty much shut them down. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up upsetting Arizona because I don't think Arizona's a good favorite. It's not a very good spot for them. But just the fact that Testaverde could be in the game, I guess you got to go with Arizona.
You see Chris Wenke's trying to come back now?
Oh,
all these old quarterbacks, he's asking
David
people
Carr
for tryouts.
42?
He's 36, 7.
Well, you know what? Joe Theismann got out of his contract with ESPN. He's coming back.
He didn't get out of his contract. They asked him to get out of the booth.
That request came from the network.
I've been kind of high on Arizona all season, and even without Leinart in there, I'm gonna keep riding them until they ultimately prove me wrong. But I'm going to go with them, cover both.
Yeah, I'm going to take Arizona, too, but I just think the quarterback situation in Carolina is the only reason. I think otherwise the spread would be 3 or 4 points different than it is. You can't win with Chris Wenke or Matt Moore. You
Dave
know,
Carr.
Whoever put, he's not going to play. He's hurt.
He's still hurt?
He's very questionable, evidently. So I think that's, you know, other than they're 3-2 with all, you know, with Jake DeLome missing half the games. So,
yeah,
I mean,
they play in the NFC.
I don't think they're that bad. I just think that, you know, at some point you suffer from not having your quarterback, and you're going to see it, and they're going to be lucky to go 8-8. I'll take Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going to take Arizona, too.
I'm just glad that DeLome got hurt. Now I have an excuse for why my Super Bowl pick doesn't make it to the Super Bowl.
Well, even though you don't really believe it, you can always use it.
Right. I'll
no
use
question.
It.
It's like when I align myself with Bill Belichick.
I'll take the cheap way out anytime.
Anyway, Oakland travels to San Diego, and I think this is the Chargers' game of the season, Fred. Chargers by 9.5. They bounced back last week.
The half.
They bounced back last week, and they pound on the Denver Broncos in Invesco. And 41.
Speaking of teams, I'm off.
41-3. Okay. They need to do something. I mean, they don't have to win 41-3, but they need to win convincingly and then get it back, you know, get the road to back to respectability because they're still, I think, going to win that division. But there's a difference between winning the division at 8-8, which could happen, and, you know, getting your season back together, going 11-5 or something in that neighborhood. What do you think, Andy? What do they do? Which direction do they go?
This one's a gimme. Powder Blues are out. Chargers roll.
Are the Powder Blues out?
Yeah.
Because they've like won like one game in those uniforms.
I don't care. I love them. Great shirts. And I learned all I needed to know about Dante Culpepper. You know, he was celebrating all that thing. Oh, my knee's fine. Okay, symbol. Then when I heard that one of the times he got tackled for like no yards, Keith Traylor caught him from behind. All I need to know about Dante Culpepper's athletic comeback and his okay knee. They get killed by the Chargers here. Sean Merriman. You got one guy who creates fumbles, and you got the guy who fumbles more than anybody in league history. That ball will be on the ground so much.
David Craig came back?
I thought Culpepper was on his way, so Culpepper will get that record this week.
Yeah, I'm totally in the opposite. I think this is going to be a close game. I don't think the Raiders have been blown out yet this year, I don't think. Have they?
About
no,
now.
They haven't. They've been playing much better.
Despite their coach.
I think what we're going to see in the coming weeks is there's more problems in Denver than there is fixing in San Diego. I agree they're going to win the division, but I'm going to take the points here. I don't know if they're rolling quite yet.
San Diego to win, but you're going to take the points?
You said Oakland hasn't been blown out yet this year?
I said I think. I don't know.
Not so fast.
Okay. Well, they will after this weekend.
I think San Diego's
going to roll all over them.
I'm going to take the Chargers, too, but that's interesting. That's why I brought that up, Tom, because obviously – I think they're going to. I think this is the road back to respectability for San Diego, and you don't. And I think that's the two ways it can go. I'm going to take San Diego to win in cover.
Yeah, me too.
Was that a little shot by Bill as well at San Diego when he said Wade Phillips, if it wasn't for timing, he would have been the head coach in San Diego there?
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, I know we sort of know it factually now, since we
A.J. Smith said it.
Somebody, yeah.
But now, just as an example of how...
I'd like to see A.J. Smith get fired.
I think that's going to happen. I think you're going to get your wish, Fred.
He's going to, and they're going to bring somebody in to run the show.
How about Pete Carroll, Pat Kerwin? Brought up today by Adam Schefter.
Let me
Holy
tell you something.
Moses, would that team's go
Pat
to the
Kerwin
ground.
Pat Kerwin is not going to be a good general
Who's
manager.
Worse at their job, Pete Carroll or Pat Kerwin?
Pat Kerwin.
I got to go with Pat.
He couldn't sign Bo after calling him on the phone. We saw that clip the other day that he was the guy calling in the pick when the Bucks drafted Bo.
How about the fact
that didn't
that
work
USC
out.
Has
it's been
lost
downhill ever since.
How about the fact that USC, with a better roster than the Buffalo Bills, has lost three of its last four Pac-10 games? Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Why is that?
Because they have no coaching. Just shows you how much better they are than everybody else.
Why is that?
Able to win all those games.
You don't think that Pete Carroll's a good coach?
No.
Really? Even in the college?
Even in the college. No, I don't. What's up with the bus today?
Huh?
Anyway, what do you like? What's the matter for you? Huh? When did my grandparents come in? What do you want? What do you got in this game?
What do I want?
Oakland, San Diego.
I think you said the Chargers.
San Diego to cover.
All right. San Diego to cover for Freddie. New Orleans travels to Seattle, Andy. 6.5 for the Seahawks.
Seahawks, big. New Orleans, stink.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle to win and cover, even though I'm a little worried of Deion Branch not being there. Something's not right with that offense, but I think Seahawks defense will get it done.
Boy, this is an ugly game, but the Saints haven't shown me anything this year. I'll go with the Seahawks.
I'm going to take Seattle to win, but I'm going to take the points, even though I don't feel real good about it. I just think that Deion Branch injury is big for them. That's the key player in their offense. He's out, and I think New Orleans keeps it close.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Paul. I'm going to have New Orleans cover in that game.
Yeah.
I know it's not for the same reasons.
No, but it's tough to, you know, when your offense hinges on a guy who's not durable, it's tough.
Like I said, I knew it wasn't going to be for the same reasons.
I knew he'd sneak a shot in there.
Exactly. Giants at Atlanta. And the Giants are a road favorite here, young Andy, by 3.5.
Yeah, that's not enough to scare me away. I'll take the Giants to win in Atlanta. They're just going to celebrate this week that they're going to get $20 million back and not really worry about football games. That's a sinking ship, and Petrino, bye-bye. Enjoy college when you find a new job in college.
I agree that Petrino is not going to be here long, but this is going to be my upset play. I think Atlanta had a lot of chances to win last week against Tennessee. They're sticking with Harrington for now. As long as he's in there, they have a shot. The Giants are one of those up-and-down teams to me. I feel like this is a week we see the down part, so I'll go with the Falcons reluctantly.
I think you might be right, Tom, that this might be a down week for the Giants, but I also think that even with Harrington in there, the Falcons are awful, so I'm going to take the Giants both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants too. I've actually thought that, you know, with the exception of last week, I've thought that Harrington has been decent and hasn't really been the problem. Now, he came out last week because he was terrible and left, which was worse. He came in the fourth quarter and went 2-for-8, fumble, interception. So They have problems there with the quarterback position, obviously.
Remember back when they had a guy on the sideline, they couldn't find a way to get in the game because they had a quarterback already?
Ironic, isn't it? Now, let me ask you this, Fred. I'm going to take the Giants both ways. And as you get, before you give you a pick, what do you think of the situation getting the bonus money back? How do you feel about that? Is it a bad precedent to set? Do you wonder about that going forward? Or do these need – I think just – Well, take it by a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, the problem is...
Forget the precedent.
The problem is they're trying to get roster bonus money back, right? Isn't that...
I thought it was signing bonus.
Well, if it's signing bonus, they should get it back because that... Well, what they should let him keep is what he's earned so far, but anything in the future that was prorated, he should have to give back. He should never get it.
But he already got it.
But he got it.
I know, so he should have to give it back. In other words, like...
Well, why?
If it's a six-year contract, he's been there for 3 years... Half of that he has to
but
pay
let me
back.
But let me ask
because
you this.
Because he didn't fulfill it.
No, I understand what you're saying. Look, I'm not arguing with you.
He didn't fulfill it because of something like this.
I'm asking what your thoughts are. Obviously, that those are your thoughts. But do you think there's an argument, devil's advocate, on the other side saying it's not about – you don't get a signing bonus for the fulfillment of your contract. Right. You get a signing bonus to sign.
I agree. So I think you sign, he should lose nothing.
I mean, if you sign the contract, that should entitle you to something.
Yeah, but
I would say
by doing what he did, it was a breach of contract. It wasn't just we cut you but or you retire. It's a breach of contract.
I agree it is, but does the breach of contract then negate your ability to get something you've already received?
I think so. Okay. I think you breached the contract.
What's the difference between getting back? Why shouldn't he have to give back salary that he already got?
Because he played on the field. Like I said, it's not all the signing bonus.
Let's face it. The signing bonus is only done that way for bookkeeping purposes.
It doesn't have anything to do with money paid out. Let's say I'm a contractor and I'm doing work in your house and I've done a certain amount of work, but then at some point I breach that contract. Most likely a court of law will say, you only have to pay me what I've done, and you're allowed to get out of that contract and now go someplace else.
Right, but I think the signing bonus isn't paid for 6 years. Signing bonus is paid for signing. You've done that.
Yeah, I understand, but
that's my point.
I just think that
it's just a bookkeeping thing about how much they were able to put it on the for the salary cap purposes. It's not about they had to pay it. It's not like that they only had to pay him $3 million a year for 6 years.
Isn't it
or
written in there that violations of character forfeit signing bonus?
But it forfeits the contract.
Right.
So why? That's what I'm saying. Why is the signing bonus the only part of the contract they can get back?
I don't know.
I think he deserves to lose the money. I think he did it himself. I'm just bringing up something on the other side.
Definitely they're going to have to figure this out.
And it's going to get appealed. And evidently the guy who's hearing the appeal is a very pro NFLPA guy that they're already worried. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're already worried that he's going to end up getting it back anyway.
Judge Doty.
But I was just
There has been cases prior to this where guys have done stuff and they've had to pay back signing bonus.
Well,
right?
A guy like Barry Sanders had to do
retirement.
When he retired.
Yeah.
And I think did Ricky Williams lose some of his signing bonus money too? I thought he did, right?
But I think he was supposed to, and then they worked out an agreement.
If he didn't come back, he would have lost.
Oh, yeah.
He lost the ruling.
Right. He came back, so he didn't. So I don't
know. That's right. That's when he retired. You're right.
He would have lost it.
All right. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Giants and Atlanta.
Giants and Atlanta. You already picked. I'm going with the Giants.
All right. That wraps it up.
That's it.
Down to the Patriots.
Oh, Patriots.
I know you hurried us along, right? That's why I was bringing up inane discussions like signing bonus.
I'll take the New England Patriots to win.
Patriots at Dallas, Andy. At Dallas. Dallas is favored by 5.5.
I'm feeling a little stronger as the week goes along. I thought initially this might be a 4 or 5 point type game. Now I think it ends up as 10 point type, maybe more. I think the Patriots are just the better well-rounded team, the better coach team. And my little Fred Kirsch thing, when Bill said that Wade Phillips does what he does, and he's been doing it for a long time with a lot of success, and some of it's kind of predictable or whatever. I think when you see predictable, you lick your chops and swallow it whole, and he's about to do that.
You would know.
Did you see when they asked Marcus Spears what would happen if he turned the ball over? What would be the final score if he turned the ball over 6 times against New England? He said 75-0.
75-0.
And he's right.
I don't think it's going to be 75-0. If the Cowboys had a 25% chance to win this game, I'd take them. Just so I could say I took them. It's going to be my one and only trip to Dallas before they tear the old stadium down.
Less than 25.
I just don't see it. I really don't. I've thought about this game a lot. I've looked at it, objectively, and they would have to play the perfect game, and the Patriots would have to play about 50 to 60% of their game. I just think different. My AFC-NFC thing. I can't go back on that now. It's a different beast in the AFC. Too much Patriots offense, too much throwing the football, and they get it done.
The Patriots have just shown that they can win when they are on their game and when they're not on their game, and the Cowboys just barely did that last week. I don't think this is close. I'm not going to go against them. Patriots all the way.
I think that I'm going to take the Patriots both sides, but I do think this is going to be a competitive game, and I think the Cowboys have also shown that they can win when they're not on their game. And if the Patriots aren't on their game, I think Dallas wins. I think the Patriots need, for the first time this year, they'll need to play at or close to their capabilities to win the game. I think they'll do it. I think these games are commonplace for New England, and we talked about it in the first hour of the show. I think Dallas has put way too much stock into this game.
They're treating it
way too important. It's just a non-conference regular season game, and Dallas is using it as their ultimate barometer. And I think, like Andy made the point, I think if they lose, it could really be a bad situation because I think they could have a hangover effect that affects them for the rest of the month, and I think that's not what you're looking for. And Tom's big point, Wade Phillips is thoroughly overmatched.
Yeah, well, I got to stick with the Cowboys. You guys will kill me if I don't.
You're so full of it.
I'm going with the Cowboys.
I don't believe I'm
killing you for staying
this.
With the Cowboys because you don't believe it.
Well, I think the Patriots are going to win, but at this point.
You're on TV saying that you really have a feeling.
Says the guy who was arguing for Moss. For T.O.
I used to wonder where Brian Morey got it.
I don't think it'd be fair if I picked the Patriots to you guys.
Well, at least I went into that saying, you know what, I changed my mind, right. But I have to argue it. He really thought, I mean, he said, no, I'm
at one point, but now I'm hearing all this stuff about exactly what Paul said about how it's 2-5-0 teams and blah, blah, blah. You're hearing that from the Cowboys side. You're not hearing it from the Patriots side. This is a big game. But the Patriots have too much experience playing big games. They know how to treat it not like a big game, yet still get up. Cowboys are all about this is a big game, and it's just too much. And, you know, if the Cowboys come out and the Patriots do a couple, you know, mistakes early, the momentum will definitely switch. But if the Patriots get through that first quarter, it's all over.
The quotes of contrast were the ones by Ellis Hobbs.
Yeah.
When Hobbs said,
here's Hobbs.
If ever there was a guy to be brash and boastful, it's Ellis Hobbs. And he says, let's not make this into something that it's not. It's just a regular season game.
If we lose this game,
one of 16 games,
we go on from here, you know?
And the Cowboys are openly talking about it, you know, 2-5-0 teams.
Right.
It's a big game, and, you know, we want to, you know, blah, 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 blah.
The fact that T.O.'s not talking means he thinks it's too big a game.
And I will tell you this, though. If the Cowboys win this game, you can't get enough money to bet against them the week after. Because they will be so down if they win this game.
Will they playing?
I don't know, but we'll have to come out of retirement and get a nice little nest egg because Fred ain't paying us enough. So
you've been retired? Hawaii in the over.
I haven't taken Hawaii in the over all year.
What time is it?
1:55.
Quick little note from practice, if you want, Fred. The team was addressed today by former coach Chuck Fairbanks.
Really?
Special
Chuck
guest.
Chuck Fairbanks, the best coach in the history of the organization?
What are you doing here?
He was here. He was with Mr. Kraft and Tom Musick. They were sort
Isn't
of...
he always
oh,
here?
Here for
well,
the,
yeah.
There's a Gridiron Club dinner tonight.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, after stretching, the team sort of gathered at midfield in a big circle, and Fairbanks, Mr. Kraft brought Fairbanks into the middle of that.
And Randy Fairbanks Moss walked by and goes, hey, Chuck Fairbanks, how you doing?
Okay.
So, yeah, that little motivational speech, it drew a little bit of laughter and applause at the end there.
I say
so
Bill
we,
didn't
know.
Care for it.
Probably not.
Actually,
no,
afterwards, the
Bill likes Chuck Fairbanks because Bill openly admits that.
He stole his defense?
Yeah. A lot of the defense is Chuck's.
Yeah, after that little gathering, Bill and Chuck and Robert Johnson, sort of gathered together while the team went out in little groups, and they were chatting it up for a good 5-10 minutes.
Well, it's good to see, you know, the Patriots' history is still alive here at Gillette Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to see. And by the way, the great gridiron, great game.
The great gridiron, great game.
Game with the greats.
Okay. No, the game with the greats is this Sunday, but I hear it's sold out.
Of course. Big
game. That's unbelievable. That's great.
Oh, lucky.
So next year.
Wasn't Lucky going
when
there?
They do this again,
Lucky.
Next year when they do this, make sure you get your tickets.
They're doing this next year?
That's all I can say. I think it's going to be the annual New England Patriot Alumni Club fundraiser.
Oh, good. It's for a good cause, right?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, did you get that Pop Warner email I sent you?
I did. It was
sent
funny.
Something
that
what?
Was funny.
Oh, man. Anyway.
One
of the coaches.
Great story. Are we doing a radio show here?
One of the coaches in the Pop Warner League sent an email to all the parents last night, just blistering them. Because I guess
what?
They're all bitching about playing time.
In your Pop Warner League?
Yes.
Different, not Connor's
not
coach.
Team.
I was going to say.
Not his team, but another team.
You haven't been bitching because you gave the guy tickets and Connor gets to score touchdowns.
Did he score a touchdown?
Yeah,
last
did he?
He never scored a touchdown.
What's the team's record?
5-1.
That's playoff
that's
tickets
good.
If he wants to score.
Right.
Cost you playoff tickets for that?
Yeah.
quarterback next year if you get him to the bowl?
How long are we going here?
Until 2.
Yeah, John Rook would like to sit down, I think.
It's 2:02.
All right.
1:58
well,
according
that's
to
it.
This clock.
We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, right? We're still here. Felger will be here. Uh-oh. We'll see you then. Here.